Okay, we left off. We were just briefly discussing this Agadita on Daf Heyam and Aleph, where we have the answer to Moshe being a Ganef or a Kubyustus or an Enovaki Bechashvonos is that Manish al Kodesh was Kafal Ha. Right, what do we have here? If we remember, someone remind me, this is talking about the first census. The first census was 603,550.
Right.
That sounds right? Right, so 603,550, Bnei Yisrael, equals 301,775 shekel. That's obviously a machzis of shekel. Now, how does shekel and money and kikar works? So one kikar equals 60 money. One money equals 25 shekel. Again, we're showing the biblical shekel, which is the Talmudic sela. So 60 times 25 used to be at least 1,500. So therefore, you would ask, how many kikars should he have? So 301,775 divided by 1,500, 301,775, sorry, excuse my Americanness, divided by 1,500 equals, clearly you see, 1,500 times 200 is 300,000, and then you get 1 out of this 175, so equals 201 kikar, plus leftover 275 shekel. And the problem is Moshe only used 100 kikar. So that's why he says he gave back less than half. Now, if you work in the remainder skullum, it doesn't work out. Rashi says, mainly he was just trying to make trouble, so he says, let's count only the kikars. 100 is less than half of 201. Okay, so the answer is no. Manish al kodesh kafal hava. Once the manish al kodesh kafal hava, it's no problem, because if we assume that, right, that the Manishal Kodesh Kafal Hava, then what do we say? We say that one Mane Kodesh equals 50 shekel, which means that one kikar equals 60 times 50, which is very easy math, equals 3,000 shekel. And with 3,000 shekel, then obviously the whole Chumash works out. Anyone could do 301,775 divided by 3,000. That's easy. 301,775 equals 100 kikar plus 1775 shekel left over, which is exactly, I mean, it's pashut that he's right. This is exactly what it says in the Chumash Parsha Pekudei. He used 100 mana and had an extra 1775. It's obvious that the Manishal Kodesh was kafal hava. What's a little interesting here is that, what does it mean, Manishal Kodesh kafal hava? There seem to be two different interpretations. What Rabbeinu Manish al Kodesh Kafel, what Rabbeinu Gershom says, Rabbeinu Gershom says, is what we just said. Mane was Kafel equals 50 shekel. Rashi seems to say something a little strange here. What Rashi says, and therefore, Kikar equals 3,000 shekel. What Rashi says is a little peculiar. What he says is, a kikar had 120 money. Right? V'hai b'kikar kaf ches money. Says it's really the kikar of Kodesh that was kafel. And therefore, kikar is 120 money. And let's just, kikar equals 60 money. And a money still is 25 shekel, okay. 120 times 25 is 3,000, and you still get a kikar equals 3,000 shekel. So you get the same result, but Rabbi Gershom interprets more, a money was double. Rashi says, it's not that a money was double, it's that there are twice as many monies in your kikar. Who's right based on the Gemara later on? Rabbi Gershom's right. Because the Varshin from a Pasuk in Yechezkel, right, in the end they said, where do we get it from? Okay, let's see where we get it from. How do they know Manish al Kodesh is Kafel? So let's see. Havvarachai, my kakash, at least the first Varachai asks, what was so difficult in the first place? Who says he only gave back 100 mana? Bahima aski kesef letzekes. He used 100 kikar kesef to make the sockets that held up the walls of Mishkan. Hanach letzekes v'inus be'gaza. Maybe he just used 100. Maybe there were 201 kikar. He used 100 for the sockets, and the other 101 he put in the storehouse, in the treasure house. No, it says in different pasuk that the entire amount that he collected, or at least that he fessed up to collecting, was only 100 kikar. Okay, when they answer that Manash al Kodesh was kafel, how do they know that? How do they prove that's the right answer? Maybe it's just a speculation. If you say, well, it must be from here, because that's the problem of where the money went with Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, it seems to be Al Pshuto Shomer for this really is a good proof. They're just saying like what the Sar could have said to get out of it if he wanted to be an Aksha. Pshuto Shomer, it's obviously a good proof. What's the proof that it was that it was Kafel? Because what did the Chumash say? The Chumash said he had 100 money plus 100 kikar plus 1775 shekel. But if it wasn't kafel, if a kikar was 1500 shekel, then it should have said 101 kikar plus 275 shekel. Right? Clearly, why would I say you have, would I ever say you have $100 and 130 cents? No, you say $101 and 30 cents. So doesn't that prove that the kikar was not 1500 shekel in the Chumash? In which case, men hastam, it was double, because then everything works out. So they say, no, even though that is a good proof of shot of the pasuk, this sar could get out of it if he wants to. But Dilma, kvaldi kachashev bekikri prati lo kachashev bekikri. No, maybe the reason they didn't say this, they only walked through hundreds of kikars. They weren't interested in single kikars. That's why they didn't say it this way. It was this. But they didn't want to get into single kikars, only hundreds of kikars. Fine. So now they bring another proof. Here you have, what is the Nechoshes? What did you set? 70 kikar plus 2400 shekel. And again, if a kikar was 1500 shekel, then what should it have said? Should it have said 71 kikar plus 900 shekel, right? That's easy for Prince Golden. They discuss here in Mutton. So what do they say? Sharikan Tishim Shisha Mana. 2400 shekel is 96 mana, which is more than a kikar. Below mana kasvel appropriate. And the Gemara didn't say 71 kikar. Shmami no mana shakodesh kafalaya. Here, you're not in hundreds anyway. It just said 70. If you can say 70, you might as well say 71. So doesn't that prove the mana kodesh was double? No, but Dilma Prata Rabbi Mukhasha Bekikri Prata Zuta Loka Khasha Bekikri. No, maybe, even in less than 100s, Prata Rabba Klal is 100. Hundreds column. Prata Rabba is tens column. Prata Zuta is ones column. Maybe they were only interested in tens of kikars, not in ones of kikars. That's bedochak, how you, the Sar could still deny this answer. Elam, Rav Chista Mehakaber. Rav Chista says, from here, meaning from logic we couldn't do it because you can get out of it, but from how to interpret a pasuk, you know, which this is what the pasuk is saying, Then and we don't have any other way of interpreting this pasuk that's valid to us. That's a valid proof. Mehachav a shekel is from gera. A shekel is 20 gera. A gera is what Chazal call a mi'ah. I think it's a talking one post there. The shekel is 20 mi'ah.
It's the same word. Gera means seed.
Okay, which is a weight that was based on a seed, which is how they started with all these things, right? They started all these things not with standardized weights, not with standardized weights, but with natural things, because that was easier in the old days before they were so organized internationally to do mekach u'memkar. You see that still true in halacha, right? We used kesayis and kebetza and et cetera, et cetera. And then some of them got more standardized. Okay, so v'ashekel eshrim geira, eshrim shkolim. So 20 shkolim. Chamisha v'esrim shkolim, or 25 shkolim. Asura v'chamisha shekel, 15 shekel. Hamani yelochem, that's what a mana is. Now what exactly does this mean? What this means is, they can't figure out what it is saying here. What's the Chumash, what's Yechezkel saying here? He's saying,
A shekel is defined as 20 gerah. Seder, that's what it says in the Chumash. Remember Kisisa, right? Esrim gerah shekel. But what's a mana? A mana is, well, what does it say? 20 shkolim, 25 shkolim, and 15 shkolim is 60 shkolim. So a mana is 60 shkolim. A mana is 60 shkolim. Now, a mana is 60 shkolim in the Cheskel. Hold on a second. We just said a mana was 25 shkolim. Right? So what do we do here? We just said, what's a mana? Right? The real rule is that a mana equals 100 dinar. There's 100 dinar. A mana is always 100. A mana in Masayu and Ksubas, for example, which is 25 of the biblical shkolim. Right, that's what it's supposed to be. What does it say in Yechezkel? In Yechezkel it says a mana, is 60 shkolim. And the way they express it here, v'hamata v'arban havya, which is 240 dinar. Right, the reason they get into dinars is because a mana, apparently the original definition of mana was based on counting dinars, was 100 dinars. So after they point out, how come Yechezkel, here's the normal, and here is what it says in Yechezkel. So how come in Yechezkel it says that a mana is 60 shekel? Very strange. Elishmaminah, mana shel kodesh, mana kafel haya. It must be that he was discussing the mana shel kodesh. If you look in Yechezkel, most of what he's discussing in these prakim is the mikdash lasad level, what we call the third base of mikdash. Okay, should have been the second base of Mikdash for Warren Zilka, so he was discussing the third base of Mikdash. And the Mana Shel Kodesh must be twice. Okay, that only gets you to 50. Ushma Minam, Mosifin Al Amidos, Ve Mosifin Yeser Al Shtos. We also see that you're allowed to add to the ratio of the currencies, but you're not allowed to add more than a sixth. Right, that's our halacha, that if the regulatory body wants to add to the measurements, they can only add up to a sixth. So some of the Rishonim assume that's connected to Ognah being up to a sixth, meaning so that if anyone makes a mistake based on not knowing the new rules of the currency and using the old rules, their mistake will not be so bad. It'll still be within a sixth, which is less than Bittul Mekach, which is still within the realm of Mekach Umemkar and not total Hefkeris. Ushma Mina Shtusa Milvar. We also learned that when you add a sixth, it is it is not a shtus milgav, but a shtus milavar. Meaning, it used to be 50. You could say add a sixth of 50 is 8 1/3. No, you add a sixth of what it will be afterwards. You add a fifth, so it's a sixth of 60. Shtus milgav means a sixth before you add. Shtus milavar means a sixth after you add, which is a fifth. So that's most of the things in the Torah are, and again, it's not the way we're used to talking in English. Not a matter of philosophy or right or wrong. It's just convention of how you talk. Like when we add a chomesh, many places in the chomesh, it really means a quarter. It's a fifth after you add, that's called a chomesh milavar. Fine. So that's it. And based on the pasuk in Yechezkel, now they've proven the mana shel kodesh was a kafel. Just bring this back for a moment to Rashi and Rabbeinu Gershom. It's mefurish that based on the pasuk in Yechezkel, that it's not that the kikar had more manas, it's that the mana had more shekels. That's the whole point. Now, what does he mean? What are we saying here? That the mana, the regular mana, was 25 shekel. The mana shel kodesh was 50 shekel. And then they added to it and made it 60 shekel. Okay, but that means it doesn't yet. So, of course, it's clear that it's the mana that was twice as many shekels, not the kikar that's twice as many manas. It's mefurish like Rabbeinu Gershom. It's unclear why Rashi, meaning it's not a kasha from like Yemzot, why would Rashi go against the next line of the Gemara? So it's not exactly clear, but it might have to do with the Ha'ara of Tosos. Dibur Hamaschil Umaneh, who asked a different question. He asked, in the Mishkan, why didn't they count them out the manas? Why just kikars and shekels? Okay, that's not such a strong question necessarily. But Tosa says there actually was no money in biblical, biblical means Tanakh. There was no money in Mosaic times, right? In the time of the Chumash. Time of the Chumash, they didn't use a money. They only used a kikar and a shekel. Later, obviously, in the time of Yechezkel, they started using a money. Okay? You can tell us what the historians have to say about that.
It's clear from the Torah, right?
What?
Money doesn't appear in the Torah.
Okay, clear from the Torah. Money doesn't appear in the Torah. All right, so Good historical deduction. So it seems it could be that maybe the reason why Rashi like interpreted the Gemara de lo kipshuto is because he really maybe what Rashi really meant is not that there were twice as many shekels in the mana or twice as many manas in the kikar, because there was no mana in the time of the Chumash. Maybe what Rashi was just trying to tell you, what he really meant is that a kikar was what we call 120 mana, which is 3,000 shekel. And that's what he was trying to say. A kikar is twice as big as we think it was. Not that a mun is twice as big as we think it was, because there was none, but a kikar is twice as big as we think it was, which obviously is all over the Chumash. Okay, either way, they all hold the same thing in the end. but it could be that Rabbi Gershom and Imran Gershom, it might just be coming out in our currencies. But if you want to know why Rashi acts so strangely and doesn't say the mun is twice as big, when it's clear in Yechezkel, the mun is twice as big, maybe because he also had like Tosfos. There was no money in the Chumash, so he didn't want to focus on the money being bigger. Okay, maybe. Not sure. There's also discussion Tosfos about Shekel, but we'll leave that for now. And we will go on to the last little piece of Agadza here. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Sha'alti is Rabbi Eliezer Veis Mosva Rava, in the big yeshiva. Manishtanu Pitri Yomorim Pitri Susim Gmalim. Why are, I understand, if you would tell me Shorva Seh, you know, Kes, Shor Chesava A's, I understand, those are the kosher ones. Of course they bring as a korban. But chamor and mela, I mean, obviously you don't bring chamor as a korban, right? Chamor. So whatever, say you have to do the pidyon, whatever. So why are chamorim special? Meaning, even if you tell me why sheep and cows and goats and not deers and antelopes and giraffes, I understand, because halacha only applies to things people grow in their farms. Right, b'chor born in a wild animal, so it's domesticated animals. The domesticated kosher animals are just sheep, goats, and cows. So if you want to extend domesticated non-kosher animals, there are other domesticated non-kosher animals, such as primarily horses and camels. So why are chamorim special? Amar Lee, he answered, Gzeres HaKasav, it's like Gzeres HaKasav. But and also they help the Jews in Tzias Mitzrayim. The whole connection is Tzias Mitzrayim. So the treif animals you wouldn't include, unless they have a special connection to the story of Tzias Mitzrayim, and these ones do have a special connection to Tzias Mitzrayim. She'im chokolech lech Yisrael, shelo haya imo tishim chamorim lubim, because there was not one Jew who didn't have 90 Libyan donkeys, which Rashi says means very good donkeys, and Tosu says means like donkeys from Libya, from Egypt, from that area. Maybe they're also good. Who helped him carry the gold and silver out of Mitzrayim in order to Mitzrayim, what Hashem said to Avraham Avinu. So since the Chamorim played a role in Tzias Mitzrayim, and obviously Chamorim are pack animals, right? We know that in not only the ancient world, even the modern world, people who want to transport things over distances put them on donkeys. Yeah.
But that's to exclude horses? I mean, they had horses in Mitzrayim.
The Jews did not leave Mitzrayim with horses. It seems to be that in biblical times, it sounds like from the times of the Chumash through the times of the early Nevi'im, horses were a special thing they had in Mitzrayim, but we have no reason to think the Jews left Mitzrayim with horses. You certainly don't load things on horse. I mean, there are like pack horses, whatever, but I don't know, maybe they're just mules, I don't know. You don't load things on horses, you load things on donkeys, and it also seems like it was easier to get donkeys. Horses were much rarer than even in Mitzrayim. So it doesn't sound like the Jews left with horses. And how do we know they left with donkeys? Because donkeys is what you carry, Rechosh Gadol. They have Rechosh Gadol, everyone has Rechosh Gadol, puts it on donkeys. That seems to be pshat. And Moshe says, that's a good point, Locham Orechamei and Nasasi, which sounds, that's probably the better answer. How do we know they had donkeys? Because Moshe talks about them having donkeys. So obviously they had donkeys. Okay, so this is what's a little funny about this Gemara. It's Xeris Akasav, but oh, there's a reason. Right? Now, if there were two reasons, you would say, Tanach, okay, there's one reason, and there's a second reason. The whole point of Xerat Agassa means there's no reason. There is no reason, and also there's a reason. It's sort of a funny Xerat, there is no reason, also there's a reason. And I saw two ways in which the Mefarshim dealt with this. I saw in some of the Achronim, they said, very fascinatingly, they learned philosophy from this sugya. Happy to be Xerat Agassa, there's a reason. So I saw in some of the Achronim, they say, from here, it sounds like there's two different things. How can there be two different things? It doesn't have a reason, it does have a reason. So they say, we see from here, there's two different levels and planes upon which we approach the Chumash. The Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuvah, what does the Rambam say about shofar in Hilchos Teshuvah? Even though it's Gzeiras HaGasav, it has a remez, Uri Yishein Mishein Atchem. So what did the Rambam say? It's Gzeiras HaKatov, but we still darshan the reason behind it. But at the same time we darshan the reason behind it, we have to remember it's Gzeiras HaKatov, because ultimately, like, we can't be sure we know the reason, it's just a remez, we have to do it whether we think the reason makes sense or not, whether the reason applies or not. What? Yeah, time of the Krah, not even deriving halachas from the time of the Krah. Even in philosophy, so what some people derive from this is, Tanach, of course, if it says the reason the Chumash, keep Shabbos because Hashem created the world. So of course we keep Shabbos because Hashem created the world. There's no need for Gzeiras HaKatov there. But if it doesn't say the reason the Chumash, we just think we figured out the reason, then maybe the point is, even when you think you figured out the reason, you still have to relate to this Gzeiras HaKatov, because you're not sure that you know the reason. It's a remez, but you can't say this is absolutely the reason behind it. So some people say, based on our Gemara, they even say our Gemara is the Makar or the Rambam. Based on our Gemara, we see that why did I say Gzeiras HaKatov Ohud? Because if it doesn't say the reason in the Torah, and you just figure out a theory for the reason, based on Achrei Chen Yetzer B'Chosh Gadol, plus Lo Chamor Achad Mehem Nasati, put two and two together, and you get they all came out with donkeys. Since it's just our theory, it's a mitzvah to explain the Torah, like the Rambam said in the end of Hilchos Me'ilah. It's a mitzvah to explain the reasons of the Torah to the best we can. But it's also a mitzvah to remember that it's like Gzeiras HaKatov, and we don't really know the full depth of the Torah. And maybe that's what it's saying in our sugya. The other pshat in our sugya is Rashi. What does Rashi say on Chumash? Rashi says on Chumash, he quotes our sugya, but he paraphrases it. What does he add? Rashi says on Chumash, why Chamorim? Ah, Gzeiras HaKatov, plus they took out the gold and silver. But what does he add? Gzeiras HaKatov. How does Rashi interpret Gzeiras HaKatov? I think it's Rashi and Chumash, whatever's on the Makor sheet. He says, no? What? It's the end of the end of Parshas Bo, I thought. What did I put on the Makor sheet? Did I put a Rashi and Chumash there? What? Yeah, here we are. V'lo petr shar behemet tamei. Gzeiras HaKatov l'fisha nimshlu b'chor mitzayin l'chamorim. Because the mitzvah are compared to chamorim, because it says zirmat. It says zirmat susan dosim. In the same pasuk, it says besar chamorim, right? So it compares the mitzvah to chamorim, and therefore, since the bechorim, the mitzvah died, we commemorate it with the chamorim. That's the gzeiras HaKatov. So apparently, Rashi didn't like this philosophical approach. Rashi said, no, the fa'od has to be two different pshatim. What are the two pshatim? One pshat is because the mitzvah are compared to chamorim, and the other pshat is because we used chamorim to take out the gold and silver. Why is the first pshat called Gzeiras HaKatov? The first pshat is just Gzeiras HaKatov. Nothing actually happened that has to do with donkeys. It's just that the pasuk that compares mitzvah to donkeys. So that's Gzeiras HaKatov. As opposed to the second pshat, which is more of a pure svara, that you don't need a katov for, because after all, how do we get the Rechosh Gadol out? Must be, we took donkeys. Okay.
And then they compare Yisrael to Seh.
Yeah, that's what's fascinating is, then what's Pidyon Petr Hamor? The Seh instead of the donkey, that's exactly what happened, right? Hashem saved the Jews instead of, and took the Jews out of the Mitzrim. So it gives a whole layer of meaning to Pidyon Petr Hamor. Anyway, those are the two pshat in Va'od. Either it means no reason and reason, and it's teaching us a philosophical approach to Chumash. Or, like Rashi, you know, it's two different reasons. One is a more Gzeiras HaKatov reason based on a pasuk that compares the Mitzrim to donkeys and has to do with killing the Mitzrim. The other is a more obvious reason based on how we got out the Rechosh Gadol and the nice things that Hashem did for us. Okay. They continue then. My Loshim Refidim. What does Refidim mean? And he said it was a place called Refidim. Kitzanai, the Sachlo, Kitanar, Rabbi Lezer, Refidim Shvat. It was just a place called Refidim. Rabbi Shua, Mersha, Repots, Midivar Torah. No. It was called Refidim because they weakened themselves from Torah, and that's why Amalek attacked them. Chaino, Omer, Lohito, Abzalbanim, Merifion, Yadayim. And that's why also the Torah says that these tragedies happen because of weakness in holding on to Torah. The Och Ultiv my Losh of Shitim, I also asked him what's this place of Shitim that we had recently in the laning. The Armali Shitim Shah, just a place called Shitim. Kitanoi, that's also the same side of the same Aflo Kitanoi. Rabbi Lezer Shitim Shah was just a place called Shitim. Rabbi Shua Mershim is the Atzkub Divrei Shtos. That means they did foolish things there, such as falling in love with these Midianite girls and worshiping the Avodah Zarah. Then we have a drasha about the Krenel Amzav Chayel Oihem. As long as we're talking about Rabbi Lezer Shua on the story of Shitim, of the
of the Baal Peor. What does it mean? Vatekren Olam, they call the nation to the sacrifices to their idols. So what's the drasha there? Yezer Arumos Pagabahen. It means that they met them nude. The girls were nude, and that's how they made sure to attract the Jewish boys. And Rashi says the lashon vatekrena is like mikra. They happened upon them. They met them. They met them and not their clothing, which means they met them unclothed. No, Vatekrena is a rebbe's lashon of Valkarian. They, all the Jews became Valkari when they saw these pretty girls. Okay, just interestingly, this machlokus where we lesser in Rabbi Yeshua, the simple way of interpreting the machlokus where we lesser in Rabbi Yeshua is that they're arguing whether you have to be so medayik in all these things in the Chumash or not. Rabbi Lezer says, a name is a name, you don't have to give, varts on it. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, a name has amkos to it. That's the simple shot. I saw in the Sefer Ein Yaakov, the Iyun Yaakov, which is one of the first in the Ein Yaakov, I believe the Iyun Yaakov is by Rav Yaakov Reicher, by the Torah Hashlamim and the what do you call them? Bottom Torah Chatas. All right, this escapes my mind for a second. And the Chok Yaakov and many other important papers on the Shulchan Aruch and Halachic works. And the Iyun Yaakov says no. They both agree that names have amkas to them. They just argue about the chicken and the egg. Rabbi Eliezer says it was called Rafidim, and therefore the Jews came there, they were weakened in their Torah because of the power of that place. Rabbi Yeshua says no. After the Jews were weakened in Torah there, they called it Rafidim. And like Rabbi Eliezer said, since it was Shittim, and it was a Makom of Shtos, and the Jews started doing Shtos and they got there. Rabbi Yeshua says, nah, it was only after they did Shtos they called it Shittim. So the Iyun Yaakov says, no, they both agree there's Amkos to the names of the Torah. But Rabbi Eliezer says, there's not only Amkos, but there's kochos, metaphysical koach, to the names of the Torah. And it shows the metaphysical koach of the place. When Yeshua says, no, the amkos is just the history of the place. Exactly. So that's their machlokas. Okay, back to halacha, we get to the Mishnah. Parash yeldim in chamer, v'chamer sheyeldim in sus, this is what we call nidmeh, right? If p'turah mina b'chora is pater, nidmeh is pater from b'chora, we already mentioned that briefly earlier. Shenamar petachamor shnei pa'amim, it says petachamor twice in the Chumash. It could have just once, why twice? Achehe hayoled chamor anolid chamor. So it has to be a mommy chamor giving birth to a baby chamor. There has to be chamor all the way through. Umayim bachila. What's the din of achila if a kosher animal gives birth to a treif animal? Behemah torah sheyoldikim behemah tmeah motzav achila. If a kosher animal gives birth to something that looks treif, it's still motzav achila because you go after the mother. Utmeah sheyoldikim behemah torah asar achila. And if a treif animal, basically, if a cow gives birth to a pig, it's kosher. If a pig gives birth to a cow, it is treif. Shayyotzmin a tummy tummy, yotzmin a tar tar, because whatever comes out of treif is treif. Whatever comes out of kosher is kosher. Okay, we're not going to get into this whole sugya. That's the three blot that we're going to.
No species change.
That is an excellent question. How exactly does a cow give birth to a pig, or a pig give birth to a cow? Scientifically, it would seem to be that it would seem to be, again, without prejudicing the lumbus, let's look at the science, it seems to be that genetically a cow gives birth to a cow and a pig gives birth to a pig. But sometimes a cow, you know, you never know what kind of strange thing could happen to fetuses that can get deformed. So a cow could give birth to a strange deformed thing that looks like a pig, and a pig could give birth to a strange thing that looks like a cow. I'm not sure how likely it is, but maybe if you find other species that are sort of closer together, it might be a little easier to imagine it.
Depends on the male, though.
What? Right, the problem is that males of a different species aren't supposed to be able to impregnate females. That's also an interesting scientific, these are all interesting scientific, halachic, historical issues. Like really, a pig should not be able to impregnate a cow. That seems to be against the laws of science. Now again, all the laws of science have their exceptions, just like other kinds of laws. Or at least most of the laws of science have their exceptions, but I'm not sure. But let's assume, meaning, however it happens, let's say it looks like it happened. What would the din be? It might be a little easier for like a sheep to give birth to something that looks like a goat. That you could see maybe a little easier, but I don't know.
Is there
tumah
involved with deformity?
No. The what?
If you have a deformed animal, it's no tumah.
No, not per se. No. Okay.
So
your understanding is that these are real things. It's not just looks like a pig or looks like a something else.
That it looks like a pig.
No, but you think that it really is a pig.
Ah, that's a hakira. What do you mean by is it really? What do you mean by really is? Is really is a scientific statement or a legal statement?
It has the DNA of a mother. Obviously.
Okay, so that's interesting. Now, okay, if you really want to know whether that's a scientific statement or a legal statement, you probably have to read Kripke. But I can lend it to you. The Kripke has a lot to say about the definition of species and to what extent they're objective or subjective or construction, but not for now. Anyway, okay, as a scientific question, I'm not sure what you mean. If a cow gives birth to a pig, is it really a pig or really a cow? I don't know. It looked like a cow, came out, looked like a pig. What is it really? That's not yet a valid scientific question. If you ask what DNA does it have, do a DNA test. But Chazal didn't have DNA tests. So what is it really? So what is it really? I'm not sure I recognize the valid scientific question, but it's clearly a valid halachic question, right? What is it really is a valid question, right? There are many nafkaminas what something is really, right? Meaning, not kashrus, because we know the rules of kashrus are in the Mishnah, so the nafkamina is certainly not going to be kashrus. But there are other nafkaminas what something is really, right? There are a lot of dinim that are on the Bereshit that apply depending on what something is really. Like, for example, you know, kalayim, right? What can it and can it not pull a plow with? Depends, perhaps, what it is really. Whether you can use it for ritual purposes. Let's say, if it's really a sheep, you can pull the pesach hamor. If it's not really a sheep, you can't. That sounds, you know, et cetera. Many things are in the Makor sheet also. So let's see if we can try to figure out what it is really when a cow gives birth to a donkey or a donkey gives birth to a horse. So the Gemara, let's read a little Gemara though. Tanan Hasam. The Mishnah teaches in the second parak, because the first parak is about Chamor, and the second parak is about kosher b'chors. Rachel she yelled him an Eiz, ve'eiz she yelled him in Rachel. If a sheep gives birth to a goat, or a goat gives birth to a sheep, Pater min ha-b'chora, they are pater, there's no din of b'chor. But if it partially looks like the mother, it's just an in-between, then it's chayiv and b'chor. And as we learned earlier, it's chayiv and b'chor, but it's considered balmum, so you don't bring it as a korban, you just eat it wherever you are. Minani mili, and we ask over there, how do we know that nidme is potter? Amar Yehuda Damar Kra, he says, the pasuk is ach b'chor shor, says b'chor shor, could have just said, this psukim we're talking about b'chor anyway. Kopete, Rechem, etc. Right? Could have just said, ach, sure. Why does that have to be Bechor Shor? Shehu Shor, Bechor Shor. The hint is, what's Bechor Shor? Bechor Shor is an interesting word. Does Bechor Shor mean the Bechor of a Shor or the Bechor that is a Shor? That's ambiguous grammatically. That's somewhat ambiguous. Bechor Shor. A Bechor that is a Shor or a Bechor of a Shor? Is it Lashon Smichut or not? So the answer is, it's meant as a drash to be both, and it has to be. It's a Shor and it's a b'chor of a shore, so it and its mother have to look like a shore. Right? Shehu shore, b'chor a shore. That the mother has to be a shore and the b'chor has to be a shore. B'chor kesef means shehu kesef, b'chor kesef. B'chor eiz means shehu eiz, b'chor eiz. Yachal afili yesh b'mikza simanim. You might think pater. Therefore, and if it's a difference, looks like a different species, it's pater. You might think it's pater even if it partially looks like its mother. Kamalomer ach is always a compromise. Chalik, you have to just split it and say if it's totally different, it's potter. If it's partially different and partially the same, then it is chayiv. So the Gemara just asks, v'ha tana peter peter v'nasu lo para. But our tana, that Rabbi Yehuda, who's an Amora, learns from ach b'chor shor, b'chor kesev, b'chor eis. But our tana, Mishnah, which is a tana, learns para from the fact that it says peter chomor twice. So how can an Amora go against a tana? No problem. He's saying like a different tana of the tana of Yosef Lili, Omer, Ach, B'chor Shor, Shehu, Shor, B'chor Shor, B'chor Kesev, Shehu, Kesev, B'chor Kesev, O B'chor Eiz, Shehu, Eiz, U B'chor Ro, Eiz, Yachol, Fili, Yishmin, Simon, and Tamal, Omer, Ach, Chalik. Okay, so it's a machlokes, and now I'm going to learn from Mike and Mifli, what are they arguing about? Tana, Didon, Sabra, Gal, Yerchon, Kedushas, Dom, and Udim, Kedushas, Gof. Our tana says the original drush, the real drush in the Torah is about Kedushas, Dom, and you only have to pay money or monetary value. The Petra Chamor. And then we learn from there, we extrapolate to Kedushas Aguf to Bechor Behemoth Torah. Rabbi Yossi, Sover, Goli, Chamor, Kedushas Aguf, Uwed, Dem, Kedushas Dom, and Vigomer, Kedushas Dom, and Mi, Kedushas Ha'aguf. Okay, the opposite. Now, before we continue on in the Gemara and do all the bookkeeping and tie up the loose ends of what everyone does with everyone's psukim,
Let's go back to our Mishnah for a second. Now that we have some basic Gemara, let's go back to our Mishnah for a second and try and ask ourselves the question of what is it really? What is it really if a para gives birth to a cham or etc.?
The fact that if they use the word nidmeh, doesn't that indicate?
What does nidmeh mean?
Similar. Looks like.
It looks like. What does it look like? Meaning, let's stick to the first example of the Mishnah, just to be make sure we don't confuse ourselves. Para gives birth to a chamor, right? So first of all, look what it says. Para sheyolda kimin chamor. It makes it, it's like a chamor. Already, maybe, gives you a hint that it's a par. No, it's really a cow. Has the DNA of the mother. You know, anachronistically speaking. But it looks like a chamor. And you'll say, nidmeh, it's nidmeh to a chamor. But it not is a chamor. It is a para, and it is dome to a chamor. That is what you might say. So if we ask ourselves, what is a oh, by the way, I forgot to make an announcement in the beginning of Shiur today. So the important announcement in the beginning of Shiur today is that I actually don't have shot in anything we're going to discuss today. So I'm hoping that someone here does. Okay, especially the Rambam. What? Yeah. It's always good to lower expectations. That way you can meet or exceed them. Very important lesson. That's a tip for the people who are training to be rabbis. So what is a, what is the status of a para sheyolda kimin chamor, right? That's the first case? Para sheyolda kimin chamor? So what Charlie is saying is that it's really a funny-looking cow or a funny-looking calf, right? That's what Charlie says, that really, what is it really? It's really a par. It's a funny-looking par, and that's the drasha. That, it needs to actually look like what it is, but it's really a par. And one thing's really a par, the Lashon of Nidmeh sounds that way, the Lashon of Kimin really fits in with the Lashon of, right, we say that works well with the Lashon of Kimin Chamor. It didn't give birth to a Chamor, it gave birth to Kimin Chamor, it's not a proof. And it works well with the Lashon of Nidmeh, which the Gemara uses in many places to describe this category. Okay, you could say that. Now, however, what is shot in the Mishnah? Let's read the Mishnah. Para sheyolda kimin chamor. Right? Let me ask you a simple question. What is the hava mina? Hava amina l'chayav b'chora. What's the hava mina? Which type of b'chor should it be chayav in? In Kedushas Aguf or in Kedushas Damim? So Charlie, what would you tell me? What is the hava mina? If we get a ha, it's potter. The havmin is that it has kedushas aguf or kedushas damim. If it's really a cow, the havmin should be kedushas aguf, right? The havmin should be kedushas haguf, right? Which means b'chor behema tahora. Oh, but what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says para sheyolda kimin chamor v'chamor sheyolda kimin sus p'tura mina b'chora. That this case of para sheyolda kimin chamor is potter. Shenemar peter chamor peter chamor achihu chamor b'chora chamor or achie whatever the lashon is here. Yolid chamor vanolid chamor. The Mishnah says we're mimaide it from pidyon peter chamor. Not like I'm waiting for you to scream at me. That's just the Mishnah. Okay. I appreciate your subliminal. The Mishnah says that we're mimaide from peter chamor. And what does the Rambam say? Where does the Rambam discuss this case? The Rambam in Hilchas Bikurim, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Yud Ches, says, someone probably has it written out there, says the Rambam, Bikurim Yud Beis, Yud Ches, he says, basically he doesn't say anything, he just says our Mishnah. You know, poor Rambam, we're making him such trouble for just quoting a Mishnah. Oh, hold on a second. This is the page they're out of order in the Rambam. Let's see if this Rambam includes Yud Beis Yud Ches. Oh, and it appears to. Says the Rambam, again, it doesn't sound strange. Par sheyolda kimin chamor, chamor sheyolda kimin sus, potter shenema upeter chamor tibdebeseh upeter chamor, beis pa'amen, achi yoli chamor nolid chamor. Right? All the Rambam does is put our Mishnah. Right? Doesn't seem like he's doing anything radical, does it? yet. Hold on, but from our Mishnah and the Rambam sounds very different. It sounds like, no, it's really a chamor with funny ancestry. It's not a funny looking cow. It's a, you know, it's a strangely miyuchas, donkey. Right? How do we know? Because, says the Mishnah and the Rambam, the Havamina is that would be Chayiv and Pidyon Peto Chamor. That's the Havamina. Now, can we still rescue what we thought at first? So, what does the Gemara say about this Mishnah?
No, before that, just to finish the Rambam, with this last line in the Rambam, so there he's going back to Elu B'chora.
Well, if Yeshlo Mitzvah Simani Chamor is obviously referring to the Chamor that gave birth to a Sus, because the part that gave birth to a Chamor is all the Simanim of Chamor. So he said, the Chamor that gave birth to a Sus, if it has Mitzvah Simanim, it is Chayav in Pidyon Peto Chamor.
He's not talking about Par Shiodo Kamin Chamor that has a Simanay.
But then he should have said Mitzvah Simani Para. So yeah, so I don't think so. However, this is the Mishnah. But, you know, we are, right? We're Orthodox Jews. We don't go by pshat of what it says in the Chumash. We don't go by pshat of what it says in the Mishnah. We go by what they say in the Gemara. And what did the Gemara say about our Mishnah? Says the Gemara in our Mishnah. It says, where was it? When they ask the question after they bring Rabbi Yehuda, v'hatan of Peter, kadnasiv la lipara. The Gemara brings Peter for Para. What do they mean the Gemara brings Peter for Para? So Rashi says, what does this mean? Peter Kanasul Para to come mapic para she go. Like, why didn't you just say the Gemara Mishnah learns from Peter? What is the Gemara saying? Could have just said, why do you learn from Achim Horshor, etc.? The Mishnah learns from Peter. No, the Mishnah is Peter for Para. What's the Gemara's question? Even for kosher animal, even for Kedush Zaguf, you learn from Ach B'chor Shor B'chor Kesef, but the Mishnah learns Kedush Zaguf from Peter. Now that's what Rashi says. To go mapik Porish Yold Min Chamor, the Ptura Min Abuchor Min Peter, Archie Yold Chamor and Vlad Chamor, Paranami Gomra Min Chamor. What is he saying? What Rashi's saying is this is the Gemara, this might be the Mishnah, but who cares about the Mishnah? We don't care about simple pshat third grade reading the Mishnah. We care how the Gemara interprets the Mishnah. What does the Gemara do to the Mishnah? The Gemara does the Mishnah al pi the Gemara, as Rashi explains, is that Peter Kanasiv La Lipara. Okay, so fine. Abi will tell us in Sav Yad Vatican 120 doesn't have the word Lipara. But we have the word Lepara, right? And Rashi clearly had the word Lepara. So, Kanasla, what does that mean? What that means is that we learn the Ptur Kedushas Damim Dechamora Sheyolda from Peter. And Gomar Kedushas Haguf Mi Kedushas Damim, meaning the Havamina was Kedushas Haguf, says Rashi based on the Gemara. Don't give me pshat in the Mishnah. I don't know why the Rambam quoted the Mishnah Kipshuto. Don't give me pshat in the Mishnah that the Havamina is Kedushas Damim, Tam Lomer, Peter. Rashi says, no, the Havamina is Kedushas Haguf. Okay. How do we learn there's no Kedushas Haguf from Peter? From Peter we learn there's no Kedushas Damim if the mother's a Chamora. And like the Gemara says, Gomar, what it means is a Chamora Sheoldim in Sus is Pater from Kedushas Damim because of Peter. A Parah Sheoldim in Chamor had a Havin of Kedushas Haguf, but is Pater because just like Peter is Kedushas Haguf, we extrapolate to Kedushas Damim, which is exactly the Sheet of Artana against Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So even though Pshat in the Mishnah said it's really a Chamor, the Havamina is Pidyon Peter Chamor, Pshat in the Mishnah, but the Gemara says no, the Havamina is Kedushas Haguf.
The Gemara doesn't say that. But what the Gemara means by adding the word lipara, why does Gemara add the word lipara? Because it says, if you had said we learn kedusha guf from achukar shor, and the Mishnah said you learn kedusha domer from peter peter, that would be a sphira. The sphira is even kedusha guf the Mishnah learns from peter peter, the principle extrapolating one from the other. Which means the happening is kedusha guf, and that's what makes it a sphira. So Rashi, I think Rashi just found the Gemara. Shot in the Gemara, which we might not have paid attention to this word lipara, unless Rashi explained it to us, is not for rescuing what Charlie said. Say, of course it's really, really goes by DNA. It's really a cow. Oh, what's the hobby? The hobby is kedusha guf. How do we learn there's no kedusha guf from peter peter? That's exactly the Gemara's point. That we learn there's no kedusha guf from peter peter through the principle of gomar, which is why it's against Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, is there a third sheet in the Rishonim here as to whether the hobby is kedusha guf or the hobby is kedusha damim? How about Tosus? As the Grizz points out, Vataner Peter Peter Masal Lepara Ve'Ein Lomar. Tosus, don't answer. Or really, you know, don't ask me. Kol Makum Itzur Kradim Asnis and Lifter Mitush Petach Hamor. Maybe you need the pasuk of our Mishnah to exempt the para who gave birth to a chamor from Kedushas Petach Hamor. Ukradahacha Lifter Midin Shor the Patrim and Abachora, and the pasuk of Ach Bechor Shor the Patrim from Bechor Behema Tahora. Meaning, what does Tosus suggest? The Gemara had a stira, right, between the two drushes. Say we need both drushes, one to teach you the no kedushas damim, one to teach you the no kedushas guf. So Tess says, don't say that. You know why? The katani masnisin mashul gamri partulah the parmi klal the petra chamor yalfina mei adadi. No, because the mission sounds like the total purse from petra chamor, because we learn one from the other. What does Tosfos say? Here's Rashi. Here's the Rambam. Here is Rashi. And here is Tosfos. Maybe, at least Tosfos says, both. There's a havmin of both. There's, you could have a havmin that a chamora, a cow gives birth to a donkey, is chayv in pinyan petach hamor, or you could have a havmin as a kedusha guf, not kashrom, it's nikra, because it has a big mum, but that you would have to asur giza and asur avoda, and, you know, and not sell it, and eat it, you know, and shecht it, and shecht it and eat it. And what's Tosfos asking? Why did the Gemara resolve the steer by saying you need two psukim? There are two havaminas. The answer is, it sounds like the Mishnah, one pasuk takes care of both havaminas through gomar, through yalfinon, through extrapolation. But clearly, there are two havaminas. Both havamina of kedushas damim, which kamash malon peter peter, and havamina of kedushas haguf, which is kamash malon Peter Peter plus Gomar Kedushas Haguf Mi Kedushas Damim. Okay, so we seem to have three different opinions as to what is it really? One opinion, the Pashup Shot opinion, I agree with the Pashup Shot opinion, is the opinion of Rashi and the simplest shot in the Gemara. Rashi, the simple shot of the Gemara, Lipara, we're davka trying to point out that our Mishnah told me Kedusha Guf, the Hadim is Kedusha Guf, Kamashla, Peter Peter, plus Yalfina, Kedusha Guf, Kedusha's Domin. Tosfos says they're both Havaminas. And therefore, you need to be multi from both Havaminas. One from Peter Peter, and the other from Peter Peter, plus Yalfina. And the Rambam quotes the Mishnah Kapshuto, says, no, the only Havamina is, Kedusha's Domin. So the Rambam seems to hold it's really a donkey, Havamina Kedusha's Domin, Kamashla, and not. Rashi holds it's really a cow. What does Tosfos hold? So, the stipler here says, Tosfos bothers all of the, for some reason the Rambam only bothered the Brisker Rav here. Tosfos bothers all the other, achronim. Maybe just because if the Rambam is so difficult, no one knows what to do with him, as we'll see. So the Brisker Rav had to deal with him anyway, because it's in his blood. Everyone else says, let me deal with Tosfos, maybe I can get further there. The Kilos Yaakov says, what do you say for Tosfos? Maybe for Tosfos, not every question is so black and white simple. Maybe life is complicated. Maybe the answer is, what is it really? Who says there has to be an answer to what is it really? It's really X or really Y. Maybe it's really in between. It really has a mixed identity. It's similar to Kalayim, perhaps. Right? It really has a dual identity. Right? Really has a dual identity.
What is it? It's a monster. It's a androgynous. It's a weird type of creature.
Does
that
Iberia?
He doesn't say the word birya. He says yeshbo mishamatzvo yeshbo mishimimo. He has two aspects. He has a dual identity. He has two aspects to his identity. And therefore, since it has two sides to its identity, you might have thought, it has two sides to its identity. So you might have thought that, So you might have thought, since it has an aspect of chamor, it's chayv pidyon, kamash v'lo not. You might have thought, since it has an aspect of para, it's chayv in b'chor behemah tahara, kamash v'lo not.
Did you say that the stipler says it has part of the ima, part of the father in it?
No, I didn't say that.
I thought I heard you say that.
No. It might be true that you thought you heard me say it. But it's not true that I said Achilles Yaakov. I don't mean that Achilles Yaakov is committed himself to this being true. I just mean he says this is what Tosus says. Achilles Yaakov, Vidas Tosus. I don't think he himself is taking sides and saying whether Tosus is right or wrong. Now the question is, let's see if there's any evidence, I gave you a few places in Shas, for what's the right answer. So we seem to have three opinions in our sugya. Okay, how about we go beyond our sugya? Can we figure out the right answer? So, So let's look at Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph talks about the other side of the equation. Not whether the Bechor is a Nidvah. That's covered on Daf A and Daf Vav. Daf Yud Beis is talking about, if I have a Bechor that's a regular donkey, all normal, there's no, you know, I don't live in Chernobyl, my donkeys give birth to donkeys, they look normal, and I just want to be Podeh. But, I guess I do live there. But can I be poda with a sed that's nidme? Right? That's a valid question. Right? Can I be poda with a sheep that gave birth to a cow, or a cow that gave birth to a sheep, or a sheep that gave birth to a goat, or a goat that gave birth to a sheep, etc.? So, the Gemara here basically has an ibaya. If I have a shield, the rachel shieldays, it's definitely a sed. The mommy's a sed, the baby's a sed. Right, because set includes two species in halacha, sheep and goats. But if a goat gives birth to a sheep, or a sheep gives birth to a goat, can I use that for pidyon peter chamor? And if you start here, I buy lehu mayu liftos benidme. I'll leave it to realize that you buy lehashu with klein per kina benidme. You buy you. But Rebbe says you can be poda with klein. You can be poda with anything. You can poda with nidme. Kiti buy lech leave it to rabbanan. The klein would do a per kina benidme. Kina dema loshna. Rabbanan say you can't be poda with klein. How about with nidme? Okay, tashma parash yoldim in a's ain podin. If a cow gives birth to a goat, you can't use it. Harachol shieldim and eis podim. The diok is, but if a sheep gives birth to a goat, you can't use it. Mani lemer realizes arba klein nami fakin. According to realizer, that's obvious. You can even use klein. Elav rabbanan must be rabbanan. So no, liolam rabbi lezer he in my liolam rabbi lezer really must be rabbi lezer. So if it's teaching us you can be poda with nidme, isn't that obvious? So he says no. He goof a kamashlan. It's not that you can be poda with nidme. It's obvious that you can't be poda with Parash Yolda Min A's. Kamashwan to Parash Yolda Min A's. This is the important line. Parash Yolda Min A's Ain Podin. The Chiddush is that you can't be Podin with a cow that gives birth to a goat. Why? And here it's very, it couldn't be more explicit if it tried. Nonetheless, the Akronim get out of it. It says, Ma, Lo Tema Zilla Basra Di Devi A's Ma'al Yahihu El Zil Basra Ime Vai Egelhu. This is exactly our question. A para gives birth to an egel, right? So do you zilbos abasrei? Do you consider it to really be what it looks like? And then if a cow gives birth to a goat, if you go by what it really looks like, it's a seh. If you go by the mother, it's a calf. It's just a funny looking calf. What does the Gemara say? Gemara says that para shiolda kim a's, you can't use it, right? Because it is a calf. So it seems to be a foolish Gemara. How about pidyon Peter Chamor be para sheyolda kimin eis. So this is a mafurish Gemara in Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara says in Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, zil basar ime the egelu. Follow the mother. Its identity is the mother, and why can't you be poda with it? Not just there's anything wrong with it. We're not discussing wrong. Rebbe Levi says you can be poda with bad things, with klayim and with nidme. Rebbe Levi says you can be poda if a sheep gives birth to a goat. Why? Because a sheep is a seh and a goat is a seh. But if a cow gives birth to a goat, then it's not a goat. It's a cat. It's a funny looking cat. You can't be poda with an egel. It only says that the Gemara is a seh, not the egel. So therefore, it's a foolish Gemara and daf yud beis that you it's a mafurish gemara that you can cannot be poda with this, and it says why you can't be poda with it. The reason is because it's an angle you go by the mother. So it seems to be mafurish gemara that the real identity is that of the mother. So how do we? Yeah.
You could very easily say you can't because it's a suffix, and a suffix arises, you can't do it.
But the Gemara doesn't say it's a suffix. The Gemara says it is an ego. Okay, but the Gemara says it's an ego. So here we get very tricky. Meaning, how do you defend Tosos? Okay, before we answer that, we have another. What's the classic nafgmina halacha? If you wanted, you're a lambda, you want to think of a litmus test for what species something is. What's the most obvious nafgmina to what species anything is? No, the nafgmina. What's the nafgmina to what species it is? Absolutely, you don't know what species it is. What's the nafgmina to what species it is? Oh, but let's say you don't know if it's a horse or a donkey, right? Or you don't know if it's a sheep or a goat, right? So obvious nafgmina is kalayim, right? You can't mix species. You can mix the same species, but not different species, right? So the obvious nafgmina is kalayim. So, for example, if a cow gives birth to a donkey, is it mutter to work with the donkey and usher with the cow, or mutter with the cow and usher with the donkey? Right? That's a reasonable question. So nafgmina is kalayim. So what about the case of, let me remember exactly which case was in the Tosefta, a sos sheyolda k'min chamor.
But kalayim is the you're talking about this species, two species coming together as kalayim. And here you're not talking about that.
Right, no. Here, I'm not talking about kalayim of giving birth to babies. What I'm talking about is kalayim of plowing together. Kalayim of plowing together. Right? Meaning kalayim giving birth to babies. Okay, that's more complicated. So it's a mefurish tosefta in kalayim. What does tosefta in kalayim say? If a sus gives birth to a chamor, can it plow with a chamor or can it plow with the sus? What does it say? Mefurish and tosefta kalayim. Again, this gets complicated. What if it itself is kalayim? What if it's not kalayim? Just two horses give birth, mazel tov, you got a baby donkey. Okay, it's a funny mazel tov. Was that the case? Yes.
It
can plow with its mother. Exactly. What does the Tosefta say mefurash in Klayim? The Tosefta in Klayim says mefurash that it's mutter lach rosh im sus. Right? It can be chorish with its mother. It can be chorish with a sus. What does that prove? That proves that it's a sus. What it really is what its DNA is from its mother, not what it looks like. It's just grossly deformed. And it coincidentally was grossly deformed. It looks like something else. Okay, that's a nice coincidence, but you want to know what species is it? Its species is clearly that of its father. That seems...
Is it clear that the Tosefta isn't talking about it?
What?
Is it clear that the Tosefta...
Yes, because the next line of Tosefta says, and if it was a mule, then it's usser. But clearly, the first line of Tosefta is not the case. So it's a mefurish Tosefta. If you got a chance to read through the stipler here, this is a little strange to me. It can't be the stipler forgot a Tosefta. You know, the stipler's not you and I. You can like his politics, you can dislike his politics, but he shouldn't be forgetting Tosefta's. He was who he was for a reason. So I don't know, it's sort of even to me whether he had something up his sleeve or now, or whether somehow he miraculously forgot a Tosefta. The client said, Stipler said explicitly, you know what would be for Tosfos? What would you paskin according to Tosfos? Who can it plow with if it has a dual identity? But yeah, someone just said the right answer. Neither, right? The Kilos Yaakov says, Das Tosfos, Aser, Imsus, and it's Aser with the Chamor. It's Aser both ways. Why? Because it had a dual identity, so it's a partial client either way. You have to be Macher both ways. Now, what's funny is that the Stifler didn't... Stipler didn't mention that he's against the Tosefta here. I know he's just trying to defend Tosos as Kavanos or Lishma, but you think he should at least mention, Tosefta says Fakert, come up with something clever. So maybe he did, he just didn't write it down here. I don't know, it's a little strange because he's against the, it's a little strange. He's against the Tosefta. Okay? a little peculiar. It's against the Tosefta. So first of all, this Tosos is in trouble. First of all, the Rambam's legamre in trouble, right? Because what would the Rambam have to say? I don't know. Theoretically, you would have to say that he's mutter with a chamor and usher with the sus. That is the legamre against the Tosefta. Theoretically, what would the Rambam have to say here? The Rambam would have to say here that you go by his own appearance and he's a seh and you can be poda. Can be poda. Or it's a seh with it, which is legamre against the Gemara. So this Rambam is going to be in a lot of trouble. I'm not sure what we're going to do with him. I'm not sure if we're ever going to figure out what to do with him. This Tosos is also in trouble. Number one, he's against the Tosefta. The question is, what can Tosos do about the Gemara Daf Yud Beis and Aleph? The Gemara.
Why do you think that the definition of Kalayim is the same as the definition? I mean, maybe Kalayim just has to do with the way it looks. I don't know enough about Kalayim to answer that question.
But that's also against the Tosefta, right? The Tosefta says it doesn't have to do with how it looks. So you're not helping defend anyone against the Tosefta.
No.
Meaning, you're not helping in the direction that anyone needs help. You're helping the people who don't need help. You're helping the Rashi who doesn't need help. Because he has a Tosefta on his side.
No, I'm saying that the Rambam doesn't pass him like the Tosefta, in other words.
The Rambam might not pass, okay, but that's a Chiddush. Now, the Rambam doesn't say anything in Hilchos Klein, so we're not sure. But let's go back to, for a second,
the Gemara is a bigger problem than the Tosefta.
Correct. The Rambam is a big problem with this Gemara, and we'll see it only gets bigger. But what about Tosos? What would Tosos do with this Gemara? So what does the Stipler assume that Tosos might do with this Gemara? Could Tosos, if he says it's a dual identity, could he get out of this Gemara that says it's an ego? So maybe Tosos could say, right? You could say that the Gemara meant that it's both identities. Since it has a tzad of egel, you can't be poda. Meaning, Tosus bedocha could, and this is exactly what the Kilos Yaakov says. Kilos Yaakov, to defend Tosos. Kilos Yaakov says, maybe the Gemara meant, verse said, you might think, didn't mean you might think it has the identity of what it looks like. No, it has the identity of the mother. You might think it's purely what it looks like. Come on, but it also has the identity of the mother. Therefore, since it's an egel seh, you can't be poda with it. What would be the nafgamina between the pshat of the Gemara and this, what the Stipler says for Tosos? The nafgamina would be, as the Stipler himself quotes, and I put in the chorus, the opposite case. What about pidyon heter chamor kivsa, or we call it a the Gemara always, that's the biblical term. They're all Hebrew of the Chumash, that's what they usually use. Berachel is what the Gemara usually uses, right? Berachel sheyolda, not a sheep that gave birth to something like a goat. Then it's a seh both ways, right? That has nothing to do with being a seh. That's nimmeh, but it has nothing to do with being a seh. What about a rachel yolda kimin Egel, or the example of the Ma'arid al-Ghazi is Kamin Tzvi, right? It should be the same thing. Kamin Egel, or Kamin Tzvi, right? What if a seh gave birth to a non-seh? According to Pshat in the Gemara, what would we say? Zil Basar Ime. Zil Basar Ime. And that you can be Podet, or at least, since in the end the Gemara has been vayi about nidmeh, it would at least be a suffic valid pidyon. You know, maybe you can be poda, certainly according to Rabbi Eliezer, who's master klai, right? You can be poda. This whole line is fee Rabbi Eliezer, lefi Rabbi Eliezer. Right? You can be poda, that's a set. This whole line is going to Rabbi Eliezer. But if you talk to the Tosos Derech, that it has a dual identity, then what would you say? You would say no. You can't be Poda because of the dual identity, right? Because of the, let's say, the tzad. The tzad egel, or tzvi, or whatever, that's not a seh, right? Who paskins this way? This is Mefurish, the Pshat of the Ma'arid al-Ghazi, right there on the Gemara Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. This is the Pshat of the Ma'arid al-Ghazi. How does he know this is true? With a pilpul ishdiuk from the Shakta Matarid Sugya there that I'm not convinced it's Mokrach, as these things often are not. But the Ma'arid al-Ghazi, Taka paskins, again, Pshat of the Ma'arid, you go only by the aim. He says, no, you go by both. If either one is not a seh, it's no good. So the Stakbo says, very reasonably, he says that, we see that Pshat in the Gemara is like Rashi, that what it really is the mother. However, you could, you'd have to be against Tosefta, but you could stick into the Gemara, like the Ma'arid al-Ghazi, that what it really meant to say is that it's both, and therefore, it has both tzadim, and therefore, if the mother is not a set, and it is, or if the mother is a set, and it's not, either way, you can't be posed with it, and that could also fit into the Gemara. The only one who can't fit into the Gemara is the third tzad, is the Rambam. That doesn't seem to fit in at all. What makes it a little worse is the Rambam doesn't discuss this case. Parash Yoldekim in A's, I don't think he discusses in terms of Pidyon. Not in terms of whether it's a Bechor, in terms of being posed a Bechor with it. But he does discuss, let's look up Pshat Lashon of the Rambam. Right? Ein podin b'seh hadome lemin acher. You can't be podin with the seh that looks like something else. V'impada padoi, but b'dieved, it's okay. Now, what does it mean, a seh that looks like something else? That means it looks like something else, right? It looks like an igel or a tzvi. So what makes it a seh? Its mother was a seh. So what is Rambam basically saying? That if a seh gives birth to an igel, this case, right? What does the Rambam say? If a seh gives birth to an egel, then you can't be poda with it, but b'dieved, it's okay. B'dieved, it's okay. Hold on a second. Meaning, b'dieved, it's okay, right? The reason is, okay, here it gives a little sugya, because that's where we have Yetzer, who says that klayim is okay, since we hold klayim's not okay, so chatzila, you shouldn't do this. But b'dieved, it's okay. But what does the Rambam say? The problem is, fair of problems in that not only is the Rambam quoting our Mishnah Kapshuto exceedingly difficult, not only is the Rambam exceedingly difficult when he quotes our Mishnah, but he's even against the Rambam, because the Rambam himself says, just nine halachas earlier, first of all, he calls it a seh. And he says, b'dieved, it's padoi. B'dieved, the pinyon works. If it was an egel, b'dieved, the pinyon should work. Now, I think all the acronym that round is very difficult for a number of reasons, which maybe we'll have a chance to get to. But the Rambam is very strange, because the Rambam seems to take Rashi's side of the Chakira. Then no. Really, it is whatever its mother is. If it's Dolman Menacher, it's still a seh. And therefore, b'dieved, the pinyon works. That is exceedingly peculiar. This Rambam makes perfect sense. He's like the Pshat, like a Tosefta, like the Pshat of the Gemara in Daf Yud Beis, like Rashi based on the post-Pasha Pshat of our Gemara here. The most Pasha Pshat is clearly the first possibility, the top possibility. And the Rambam here matches that. The only thing is, the Rambam over here is exceedingly, the Rambam over here is exceedingly difficult. He's against the Tosefta, he's against the Gemara Daf Yud Beis, he's against what he says about the converse of the Gemara Daf Yud Beis. All he has going with him is Pshat in the Mishnah, but what good does Pshat in the Mishnah do? We don't pass like Pshat in the Mishnah, right? What does the Gemara say about people passing like Pshat in the Mishnah? Right, they're Mevali Olam, they destroy the world. We pass like the inclusions of the Gemara.
Can't you say with the Rambam that he put it in Hilchos Bikurim for the case of Chamor that gave birth to a Sus? And that's why by Mikdash Siman he only talks about that case.
You're saying is the Rambam quoted the Lashon of our Mishnah, but he was Lav Davka. Really, he meant like Rashi.
Or like let's say like Rashi.
And I thought it could also be for things only by things that make us money. He only talks about the.
Great, right. And in the continuation, he only talks about that. Okay, that is a. I don't know if that's a proof. It could be that. Well, by mitzvah simanim, the identity is for sure the mother's, and that's why he shouldn't talk about it here. But you have to say that can't be, right? It can't be. It's against everything and the Rambam. It's very, you know, there's another few strange things in the Rambam and Arasugya, such as, okay, what I would like to do is, let's just mention, what else is strange about the Rambam and Arasugya? If you remember, Rabbi Yossi Aglili learns a pasuk in Kedushas Haguf and extrapolates to Kedushas Damim. The Tana, the Mishnah, learns a pasuk in Kedushas Damim, extrapolates to Kedushas Haguf, and the Gemara says each of them uses the other pasukim for something else. The
Rambam brings both.
The Rambam brings both. He brings in Hilchos Bechoros, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, in Hilchos Bikurim, Tana Bar Mishnah, and it's clear in our Gemara that you can. He says, clear in our Gemara, the Tana Bar Mishnah darshan something else from Bechoros, Shara, Bechokas, Bechoros. Rabbi Yossi Aglili darshan something else from Petachamor, Petachamor. So the Rambam is against our Gemara in passing like both Tanaim instead of only one. What I would like to do is put together the two strange Rambams and come up with a solution. And maybe we can in a very boring way. Just follow up what Lubet says. Why did the Rambam not pass like Argamar? Argamar says you either have one drush or the other, not both. That's clear. Why did the Rambam bring both? So, again, I'm waiting for the Lundish answer. I haven't found it yet. I looked at all the Achronim, and all the Achronim only have one answer, which is in the Lechem Mishnah right on the page. What's the Lechem Mishnah's answer on the page? It's Lav Davka! It's the Derech of the Rambam. When the Rambam brings drushos, he doesn't bring drushos based on the Maskana of the Gemara. He brings drushos based on the Pshat of what seems the most Pashat. The truth is, he seems to have a point. In many places in the Mishnah Torah, when the Rambam brings Pesukim, he's not telling you, meaning what's the point of the Mishnah Torah, right? He's not telling you Shaka Vatari, he's not telling you Sugyas, he's just telling you bottom line. Why does he bring Pesukim? He brings Pesukim to beef up the bottom line so that you'll see that it has a source in the Torah. So he doesn't have to bring a pasuk like a wavy paskin. He won't make up an interpretation that's against all of rabbinic Judaism, but if there's two Tanaim, he could bring the pasuk on both of them, because they all sound that way. It could be. Could it be the, like Rios Iglili? It could be. Could it be like Tana Mishnah? Could be. So bring them both, because that's the simplest way to explain to people, and he's not getting into details here, he's just writing a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Okay, if you take that the reason why the Rambam is against our Gemara in the Pesukim is Lav Davka, he's just writing in a simple sense, then you can Lubet's answer here. Once he's Lav Davka about the Pesukim, he's Lav Davka about the whole thing. So, how can you answer it? So how do you answer it? So, answer number one is that it's Lav Davka. And, who said the Rambam's Lav Davka? Just like the Pesukim are Lav Davka in the Rambam. Why would the Rambam paskin against our Gemara? Now you could say he had a fancy schmancy lundish reason paskin against our Gemara. But that's not what the Lechem Mishnah says. The Lechem Mishnah says Lav Davka. So okay, this whole Rambam is Lav Davka. You know what? He just quoted every sugya in the simplest way. He quoted our Mishnah the simplest way it sounds. He quoted the Gemara later on in Daf Yud Zayin the simplest way it sounds. Shalom Yisrael, Lav Davka. The only other... I should probably stop here, right? While I'm ahead. Or while I'm only a little behind, right? When you have a Rambam and you have to say Lav Davka, I wouldn't necessarily call you ahead, but I should quit while I'm only a little behind.
We're also making a big assumption that Pidyon is the same thing as the Chalos in Kedushas Bechoros.
I'm making an assumption that it really is one way or really is the other way. But you want to say no. Maybe Le'inyan, to use it for Pidyon, it's really what the mother is. Le'inyan, to be poda it, it's really what it is. But you'd have to explain that.
I know, I don't know enough to explain.
Yeah, if anything, if you said the opposite, I could explain it. But you'd have to, the opposite would be easy to explain, right. But I don't have to. Oh, just say, Le'inyan Pidyon, it goes by what it is. Le'inyan Bechor, it goes by what kind of rechem it pattered. Right? That would be easy, but that's not helpful. All the spurs, the opposite of what we need to say, I have good spurs for.
No, but you have the suffix, though.
Okay.
You could go one step further. You have Pidyon, the suffix is Mu'yu, and you
right. I hear. I would say something a little crazy. And this could also be shot in Tosos, of course, if you want the Tosos to fit with Yosef and Klein. But it's crazy.
maybe you'd say for the Rambam, it's really an egel, right? If it's a baby, it's an egel. But have a mina to require pidyon peter chamor. That is crazy, no? Maybe the Rambam never said it's really a chamor. He just says it's a havmin you require pidyon peter chamor. So it's really an egel, but it's an egel the way the havmin you require pidyon peter chamor. Okay, that's probably too crazy. But if you wanted to, you know, write an essay for your application to the lunatic asylum and explain your svara, maybe you could say the Rambam l'shitaso, which we're going to come back to next week at great length and if hopefully great depth as well. The Rambam says there's a mitzvah saseh of kaddish likol b'chor. It's interesting. The Rambam has three mitzvah saseh. One is to be pode peter chamor. No problem there. One is to be poda pinyon aben, b'chor adam, no problem there. The other is to be mekadesh the b'chor, which you bring the hilchos b'choras about b'chor behemah tahora. Now, if the Rambam had stopped there, we would say, great, three things, three mitzvahs, two pinyons and one kedusha. The Rambam actually is a little more interesting. He says, no, there's a mitzvah to be mekadesh all b'choros. B'chor behemah tahora in its way, and b'chor behemah tamei in its way, and b'chor adam in its way. He seems to say there's a common denominator to the kedusha of all these behemos, which again makes sense in our gemara. Yolav tu sagof in kedusha dam, yolav kedusha dam in kedusha sagof. So maybe the Rambam thinks, and this is a little crazy, that really there's one kedushas b'chor. There are just two levels. There's the level of kedusha sagof for things that are on the level of Kedush Zagof. And then, for things that can't qualify as Kedush Zagof, there's a level of Kedush Zagof. But it's one Kedush with two levels. If it's one Kedush with two levels, maybe the Rambam really holds like Tosos. If a parah gives birth to a chamor, it's really an egel. But because it looks like a chamor, it can't have Kedush Zagof. Okay. But since the reason it loses the Kedush Zagof is because it has looks like a chamor, so maybe that just brings it down the level to Kedushas Damim. It's all not so crazy. The reason it lost Kedushas Agof is because of the Chamor. So let that bring it down a level to Kedushas Damim. And maybe the Havni of Kedushas Damim, even on an Egel. Why? Because it's an Egel that lost its Kedushas Agof because it looks like a Chamor. So after all, a Chamor doesn't have Kedushas Agof because it is a Chamor and has Kedushas Damim. So an Egel that doesn't have Kedushas Agof because it looks like a Chamor, maybe should also have Kedushas Damim. So you need a pasuk to teach it as no kedushas damim. So maybe the Rambam really thinks you have to say he has both havaminas. Of course, have it's really an egel. Havamina is kedushas aguf, but no b'chor shor, b'chor kas, b'chor eiz. Havamina, since its similarity to chamor took away kedushas aguf, it gets knocked down a level to kedushas damim, which is not a different din but a different level. Kamash v'lan that it doesn't even get knocked down a level; it gets knocked down entirely. So that would be a big chiddush. Again, the assumption is not bad. The assumption the Rambam thinks it's not completely separate kedushas but different levels. It's not so crazy. He puts it in one mitzvah saseh of kiddush b'choros. To say still, having in the egel that gets knocked down to, looks like a chamor, gets knocked down to the chamor level is a big chiddush. But maybe, defend the Rambam, it's probably easier to say lubetz lav davka. I just didn't wake up this morning ready to say that because I was trying to be more ambitious. But perhaps discretion is the better part of valor. These are the only two things I'd say for the Rambam. I can't take the Rambam literally. It can't be that someone really holds that what it really is, what it looks like. It can't be. It's against everything, Shema everything. It can't be. Even Tosfos is against Tosefta. And Dachok is more in Dafyud Beis. We haven't even gotten to the more in Dafyud Zayin, which is very complex. I'm not going to get into, but somehow everyone works out. So even Tosos is dachuk, but this Rambam is impossible. You can't say it's really what it looks like. So you have to say either lav dafka or something very fancy. I'll just point out one last nafkamina, which is it's not a nafkamina, it's a whole bundle package of nafkaminas, is the famous suffix of the Yad Eliyahu. The Yad Eliyahu has a great suffix, nothing to do with Bechorah, so with Bechorah client. The Yad Eliyahu has a great suffix about kashrus. There's different rules for kosher animals and treif animals. Besides kosher animals being kosher and treif animals being treif, what are other rules that are different between Tumei and Tahora? Tumas Nevelos, right? If you shecht the cow, it doesn't have Tumas Nevelos. If you shecht the horse, it does have Tumas Nevelos. Another example is Chelev, right? Within behemoths, right? If you eat the Chelev of a cow, you're Chayiv Karis. If you eat the Chelev of a horse, obviously it's a lav, but you're not Chayiv Karis. Right? Avram and Achai. If you eat the Avram and Achai of a cow, it's a lav. If you eat the Avram and Achai of a horse, it's still Usr. It's a horse, but there's no Isr of Avram and Achai. Nafkamina being, what if I had a very tiny Avr, less than a Kazayas? From a cow, I'd get Malkus. From a horse, I wouldn't get Malkus. Right? Because there's no Isr of Avram and Achai. And in the Isr of horses, I need to eat the Kazayas. Okay, so he asked the following question. If a, the end of our Mishnah, Tmeya she yaldikim in Tahora, Tahora she yaldikim in Tmeya, the kashrus follows the mother. But what general, is this exerus kashrus, the kashrus follows the mother. Does that mean the entire species is the species of the mother? Does that mean no? Only the kashrus follows the mother. It's basically very similar to Hakira. As a matter of fact, you'd say it is our Hakira. Oh, I should have left room here. Here is the Yad Eliyahu. If a Tmeya Sheyolda, or what's a better example? It doesn't matter. Let's use the example of Tahora Sheyolda from Tmeya. It's an interesting one. He started with the fascinating question. I'm not sure why this was the Meiser. If a cow gives birth to a pig, right, can you write tefillin on its skin? Right? Interesting question. Which might be more complicated, because either way it's not much of a picha. Or it is much of a picha. So, what about Tahora Sheyolda Kemin Tmeya? Is mutter ba'achila. Right? But what species is it for other things? But otherwise, is it tmeya or tahora? I apologize for not leaving me enough room. What is it other than achila? And achila you go by the mother. So again, the simple pshat is, goes by the species of the mother, right? Simple pshat is, and this is the psak of the Orach HaShulchan right there in Siman Ayin Tes, in the Chacham Echad. The Chacham Echad and the Orach HaShulchan says that it is Tahora like the mother. It totally follows the mother. What are the Nafkaminas? Nafkamina is Chayev Kares on its Chelev, Shachta Tahara Mitumas Nevela Yeshbo Isser Aver Min Hachai, etc. That is the psak of the Orach HaShulchan, and Ayin Tes, he says, Dabar Pashut, no sane person should question that. And that's the Chacham Echad that the Yad Eliyahu discussed. The Yad Eliyahu himself says, no, it's a Tmeya like it looks. It's at all the Nachminas how it looks. It looks Tmeya, it has the dinim of a and the Kilos Yaakov says, and this is what the Yad Eliyahu paskins l'maisa, Kilos Yaakov says, Bedas Tosfos, suggests Bedas Tosfos, and the Yad Eliyahu paskins way l'maisa, but only Bisafek, not Alpilundus, is that maybe we're machmer both ways. Again, the Yad Eliyahu concluded to be machmer both ways, not because of Lundus, just because he's not sure who's right. But the Kilos Yaakov said, no, you say the Ikaron, you have to be machmer both ways, because it has a dual identity. So all the difference between kosher and treif animals might also be an afkamina. And then the Orach HaShulchan follows the mainstream and says, the Orach HaShulchan follows the mainstream and says, you go by the mother. Identity is the mother. However it looks, it just looks funny. Its identity is the DNA it got from its mother. And the Kilos Yaakov says, no, maybe it has a dual identity and you have to be machmer both ways. It would be, everything would be the exact same, vice versa. I know. It would be much of achila, but is it considered tmeya for other things or not? Like, maybe it's much of achila, but you can still eat the chelev. Because it's a tmeya that's much of achila. Maybe it's tmei b'achila, and you can eat Abram in a chai, because it's a tmei that's much of b'achila. That would be a little, that's the Eliyahu who thinks. Now, and by, so, now, the, what the Sefer points out is that, oh, hold on, the Eliyahu himself is in trouble now. He took the side that didn't make any sense. That was against all of Shas and all of, you know, the Tosefta, etc. So, we suggest that, but, it's against everything. So the Stifler points out that you can answer this very easily. Even the Aliyahu is not necessarily saying this side of the Hakira. It could be that he admits its species is determined by the mother. It could be that the Yad Eliyahu has nothing to do with our Chakira. He admits the species goes by the mother, which is the main Shem Shad of the Tosefta and the Pshat and the Gemara and Rashi. He admits the species goes by the mother. Ah, so why is he saying that it's Dina follow itself? So hold on a second. He's dealing with the difference between kosher and treif animals. Anyone know how the Gemara tells us to identify kosher and treif animals? By the species or, this is a Chakira?
Simon.
By Simonin. He says its species determine the mother, but the dinim of Temeya Utehora follows Simanim, not species. So it could be that he's irrelevant to our Hakira. He admits that what it really is the mother. However, in Toma Vatara we follow what it looks like. There's a special din of simanim, and we have to follow the simanim. Basically, when he says, what's his case? Torah shall live in the way, a cow gives birth to a pig. He says a cow gives birth to a pig, it's considered a behemoth tamea. He doesn't mean it's considered a pig. He means it's considered a cow, but it's behemoth tamea, because it doesn't chew its cud, because it doesn't have simanim.
But that's why you have to put some yotzei
mei atar. Ah, except for eating. I mean, it's a special serious custom, you can eat it. But otherwise, it's a treif animal. You see the Adel Yo's little dog. The puzzle shot is if you can eat it, it's kosher.
But the Simon, you mainly talk about eating.
Okay. That is a good ha'ara. That is a good ha'ara. You have to say, you're right, it's a behemoth male, you see money, but it's a serious custom, you can eat it. If you're older, sometimes there are serious customs you can eat treif animals. Right? Like, according to the Ramban, when they conquered Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yeshua, they were allowed to eat the treif animals they found there. So, but you're right, it's a little dachuk, but the Adaliyahu is dachuk in the first place. All the Achronim are against the Adaliyahu. Basically, all the Achronim agree with the Aruch HaShulchan against the Adaliyahu, that the mainstream is clearly, basically the mainstream psak in answering the halachic question, what it really is, would follow the genetics, the science of genetics. What it really is the mother. I don't care how it looks. That's the mainstream psak. There is an in-between psak, which is dachuk, but you can get by with that has a dual identity. Often has a dual identity, why are you allowed to eat it? Okay, especially if there's a gossip, you can eat it even though it has a dual identity. Not so crazy. And then there's a shot that's very difficult, which says, no, its identity is determined by looks, not by ancestry, against the science of genetics, which is fine, other than also being against all the Makoros. And that, we said the Rambam couldn't have really meant it, and we think the Eliyahu also, number one, he's a minority Shita, and number two, maybe he only meant his le'inyan simanim, not le'inyan min. There could be a difference between simanim and min. Okay, this was a, yeah.
Does the issue of mule come up here?
So the issue, this issue comes up in a few places. That's what's called real kalayim, right? It's just made of two different species, right? There are species that can crossbreed, not too many, but a couple, here and there. And so it does come up in all these contexts, but basically in all those cases, it is going to be machber both ways anyway, so it's not going to be such an afkamina. Halach lemaisa. Yes, get him. That has to do with the Gemara Daf Zayin. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, what about Lidori Doros? I would think even Lidori Doros. Kach, nearly even Lidori Doros. But I don't think the Aruch HaShulchan, I don't know if he explicitly said anything, and it would be something we're thinking about, and we have to be ayin in that, especially in context of that Gemara. Okay, let's just finish up our sugya now. A few more details I want to deal with here on Daf Hey and Beis, and Daf Vav and Aleph, and a little hint, even though this is not, Usher, when you have a chance, please, this is not a fully developed sugya,
but about not. So far we've dealt with, remember, 2 weeks ago we dealt with why Nidme is puzzled as a carbon. Right? That was Rabbi Kakira, the Psul of Nidme, Klayim, Balmum, and the Rambam, etc. Now we dealt with a little what the identity of Nidme is. What we haven't dealt with so much, although some Mefurish Pesukim all over here, is why a Nidme is Pater from Bechorah. Right? So maybe we'll at least try a little to think about why a Nidme is Pater from Bechorah, and then we will understand a lot of what there is to understand about Nidme. That comes up in a few kashas in this, in this Gemara, what do we have time to discuss? First of all, is an interesting girsa in this Gemara. It's not clear what the right girsa in this Gemara is. If you look at the, really, the last line that we read together, it says, right? Now, the argus is a little funny, because when it comes to Tani Didan, we just say the word Huadin, and when it comes to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we say the word Huadin, and then the word Gomar. It's not exactly clear. If we say Huadin, that seems to be a little redundant to Gomar. Right? So, if you read the Gomar with argur, so what might you say? Really, it's just, there's the Huadin. They both say, one Kedusha Huadin, the other Kedusha. Why does it throw in this Gomar to Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Maybe, especially if you take Rashi's shot that's on the board. Our Tana, we say one thing Huadin, the other thing, and that's why they're both in the Mishnah. In Mishnah has Paras and has Chamoras. If you say Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he only talked about kosher animals. So he throw in Gomar, Kedusha Domi, Kedusha Gof. You should know that because of this Huadin, he learned it. But the Gersa that the Shittim Gebetzer and the Gershom had seems to have been different. If you look at Rabbi Gershom, he says, Tani Didan Sar Gali Rechmanim Kedushas Damim, Dekila, Ubar Pidyon Hu, Peta Chamor, Jalo Kaddish, Ad Sheyehu Chamor, Vavlad Chamor, Vavuadim, Dekol Sheyem Kedushas Agof, Bechor Tor, Dalab Bar Pidyah, Jalo Kaddish, Ad Sheyem Mamish Kimo. Rabbi Yossi Sar Gali Rechmanim Kedushas Agof, he skipped the Huadin Rabbi Yossi, Vigomar Kedushas Damim, Kedushas Agof, Vavuadim, to Rabbi Yossi, Lekalim, Rabbi Huadin Kol Sheyem. Okay, Rabbeinu Gershom, and it's not just Rabbeinu Gershom, the Shittim Gebetzes, at least the Tosos Rush in the Shittim Gebetzes, says the exact same thing. They say, no, in their Gersa, they have... right, what is the... that the Tani Didan says, Goli Rachmana, Bikdushas Damim, Behu Hadin, Kdushas Hagof. And in Rabbi Yosef Glili, they say, Goli Rachmana, Bikdushas Hagof, Vigomar, Kdushas Damim, Mikdushas Hagof. Why is there a difference in that formulation? They skip the Huadin. So it says Rabbi Gershom, because Huadin means. The kol shekain. Who Adin means kol shekain? One is a kol shekain, the other is not a kol shekain. That's what Rabbeinu Gershom says. If it's potter from Kedushas Agof, kol shekain is potter from Kedushas Damim. But if it's potter from Kedushas Damim, it's not a kol shekain, it's potter from Kedushas Agof. We have to decide to extrapolate that it's also potter from Kedushas Ha-Guf. So, that's what he's saying. Saying Kedushas Damim, Kol Shekain, Kedushas Agof. Basically, what we're saying is this is Rabbeinu Gershom and the Shittim Gebetzes. And what's the pshat? What this means is that the Ptur Mikdushas Hagof is more obvious than the Ptur Mikdushas Damim. Kedushas Damim is more of a chiddush. If that's true, then obviously Kedushas Agof. Kedushas Agof. Right? But if Kedushas Agof is potter, it's not obvious that Kedushas Damim is potter. You have to be gomer. Why would that be? Why should there be a difference between Kedushas Damim and Kedushas Agof in terms of what's potter and what is chayav?
It's obvious. I mean, you have the mizbeach.
Exactly. The mizbeach. So the Brisker Rav says, what do they mean by this? What's the svara?
Why? So the Griz says, because, and this is the Chiddush Yesodi has here, because the Ptor of Nidmeh is because it's Pasol Lehafrava. That's his Chiddush. There's a din that Nidmeh is Potter from Bechor. There's a din that Nidmeh is Pasol for Hakrava at all, for any Karbon. What's the relationship between the two of them? So the Briskerov says, we see from this sheet of these Rishonim that these two are related. It's not coincidental. These two are related because it's Pasol for Hakrava. That's why it's Potter. That's why it's Potter. And that's what he says here. He says, now it makes sense. If even, now, what one thing does he have to add here? He has to add, and even Petr Chamor, Petr Chamor is nothing to do with Hakrava. Why should need maybe Potter from Petr Chamor? Right? You don't even need another Pasuk, right? Our Gemara says not to Pasukim, all one Pasuk learn from each other. And even Petr Chamor is, even Petzach Amor is, I would say the Kedusha is the Bin Behemoth Tahora. Even Kedusha Petzach Amor is not a separate din. It's just a lower level. If it was a baby Hema Tahora, you would have knocked Kedusha off. If it's a Chamor, so instead you should be poded. So then it makes a lot of sense. If you tell me Chamor was just an extension of Hakrava is Potter, then obviously for Hakrava itself it's Potter. If you tell me Hakrava itself it's Potter, then we need to be Gomer. We need to decide to extend that to Petra Chamor. But that's one way he understands the psul of Nidmeh flows, sorry, the Ptur of Nidmeh with the basic shot. The Ptur of Nidmeh flows from the psul Nidmeh. And then if you look in the grids here, he brings a diuk from the Gemara in, he wants to bring a diuk from the Gemara in Baba Kama this way, that the Psol Nidmeh, Ptur Nidmeh flows from the Psol Nidmeh. Now again, not everything that's possible is Potter, right? A Balmum is possible, but it still is Kedushas Bechor, right? You just have to eat it outside, but you can't do Giza Vahoda. It says, okay, that's because Balmum is not as big a Psol as Nidmeh. Nidmeh is a bigger Psol. However, that's what he thinks these Rishonim are saying. He does suggest an alternate approach as well, though. There is an alternate approach. What is the alternate approach? Maybe it has nothing to do with, well, I can think of more than one alternate approach. But what could I have said otherwise? I could have said no. The fact that it's possible for Hakrava is not relevant here. A Bechor is a Bechor. The fact that it's possible, so who cares if it's possible? A Balmo is also possible Hakrava. And that doesn't stop it from being a Bechor. It's just a Bechor that you're not Makrif. Certainly in Petr Chamor, why should that stop it from Hakrava? The other approach is, no, it's a local din in the Kedushas Bechor. Mehechi Tesi, such a din in Kedushas Bechor. So, I could have said in one of two ways that Brisk Rub is going to say in one particular way. I might have personally said that, you know what it means? That Bechor all has to do with a Rechem B'Mekadosh it. It's Kaddosh because of the circumstance of its birth. And if it was born weird because it doesn't look like its mother, then that's not, the Rechem can't be Mekadosh something that it's not supposed to give birth to. The Rechem is only Mekadosh Kederach that Rechem is supposed to give birth. A Bechor is like Hashivas, right? So, if it converts and it doesn't look like it, that's a pagam in the, in the Rechem being Mekadosh. Could have said that way. The Brisker Rub, so, takes a slightly different way, or the other option you could have said is that no, it's not connected to the Psol Hakrava. Rather, either you could take one of two approaches. Either it's a chisaron in the birth, right? The rechem is only mekadesh domelo, right? The rechem is only mekadesh, something that's similar to that rechem, that's supposed to come out of that rechem. It's a chisaron in the birth, and that... the rechem is not mekadesh and nidme. Or you could have said that, bechor is specifically mentioned about particular species, right? Bechor is about particular species. Bechor shor, bechor kesev, or bechor aiz. It doesn't even say bechor shor, bechor aiz, or bechor benim tohora. There's a din of bechor shor, a din of bechor kesev, a din of bechor aiz, a din of peter chamor. And it could be that this din was specifically said about one type of, it was specifically said about this type of animal. And therefore, it's not that if it looks funny, I know its core identity might still be that of its mother, but if it looks funny, it's not the type of animal that the Torah wanted to be Mekadesh. This would particularly work for Tosos, of course. Or you could say that the din b'chor was only said about a 100% shor or 100% kesev or 100% aiz or 100% chamor. Therefore, it doesn't matter if it's a good carbon or bad carbon. The din of bechor was only said, this is the pshat of the drasha. If it's set in all fashion, in all ways, or sorry, keves in all ways, a's in all ways, chamor in all ways, shor in all ways. The Brisker Rav takes this approach and uses this to answer the question of Tosfos. Maybe with that we will end the lumdus, and you can see if you want to take these ideas and do anything further with them on your own. I think there is what to do further with these ideas, perhaps. But it's going to be very tricky.
You can answer the Rambam with that too.
What?
You can answer the Rambam with that too.
How so?
In order to get Bechor, it has to be 100%. It's got to be Pidyon, it's enough of a partial.
Oh, I'll think of that.
But a moon, we still count as 100%. The language of Gemara has always been that a Nidme, any moon Yoker Gadol is that. He's calling it a moon.
But besides being a... No. Mitzah Siman is a moon. But if it's totally an Nidme, maybe that's more than a mum. That's only Mitzah Siman instead of a mum. You're calling me the Rambam, that's different than the Gemara. He uses this to answer Tosa's question. What's Tosa's question? Tosa's question to Rasul Vaha, he asks, V'im Tomer, Nehidashem, Yim Petr, Petr, Farshi, Yoldik, Min Sos, Dil Mahani, Mil Hefe, Nishtan, Dover, Shein, Kodesh, Kudush, Zagof, Aval, Kigon, Rachel, She Yoldim, In Eiz, De Kodesh, Kudush, Zagof, Hav, Amina, De Kodesha, V'yesh, Lomar, De Mestar, Le Gamri, Yofing, Me, Yodod, Kudush, Dom, Kudush, Zagof. Made from Petr, 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 only in my changing to something that doesn't have Kudush, Zagof. How do we know it's even in mind changes on the has kudush zagof? The answer is no. The Yalfina, we're gomar, all nidmes from each other. So he asks a simple question. Kasha, da ha'amar, filu kudush zagof, mikdush zagof, lo yalfin, da ha'la shor b'ches v'ezer, krol kochad b'chad. Hold on. If we're gomar, if we're yolith, gomar, one from the other, why do you need a separate drasha for kesef, for shor, and for ez? Why do you need b'chor shor, b'chor kesef, b'chor ez? If we're yolith, we're gomar. So, we're gomar donkeys and had horses from cows and sheep. Why can we gomar a cow from a sheep and a sheep from a goat? Those are so close together. So that is Tosos' question, which he does not answer. So basically, what does the Brisker Rav do? This is the Brisker Rav, again, I think it's the Stira. But this is the Brisker Rav, he wants to be Mechadish, this idea. And what does the Brisker Rav say? He says, A, he used this to answer Tosfos' question. What is Tosfos' question? Why do you need a separate tour for Shor, Kesev, V'ez? If we are Gomar, we're Gomar, one Kedusha from another Kedusha. So why do you need Bechor Shor, Bechor Kesev, Bechor Eiz? Okay, so the Gilyan Tos on the side says, well, at first we know we're Gomar. Once we had the three, we're Bechor Kes, Bechor Sher, Bechor Ez, we learn that we're Gomar. He has the best answer to this question. What's the answer to this question? He says, here's his longest, he says no. We extrapolate Tornidme automatically. We extrapolate Tornidme automatically. So why do we need Bechor Shor, Bechor Kesed, Bechor Ez? But we, the Hava Mina, that the din Bechor is a din in Shor Kesev Ve'ez. Our Hav Mina is not that. What does he mean? We know that something that's not the species the Torah mentioned is Potter. But let's say even better. What does he use this to answer? He says, we automatically know that whatever is not 100% what the Torah mentioned is Potter. But what's the Hav Mina? But we might think Bechor Kesev Ve'ez is one din of Bechor. So anything that's 100% Shor Kesev Ve'ez is Chayev. Right? And what he's saying is, we don't need to separate by Shor Kesev and Ez that's used of Torah Nidme. We know that a Bechor, once we know a Bechor that looks like a horse's putter, we know a Kesev looks like a horse's putter, we need to know an Ez that looks like a horse's putter. What do we need a separate Bechor Shor, Bechor Kesev, Bechor Ez for? We need that, because we might have thought a Shor that looks like a Kesev is Chayev. Because it's all Shor Kesev and Ez is one Chalos. So it's still within that Chalos. Who cares that it's Nidme and it's puzzle for a carbon? It's within what the Torah mentioned. It's a Bechor, Shor Kesev Ez, all the way, in every fashion. If an Ez gives birth to a Seh, to a Keves, it's a Bechor, Shor Kesev Ez. So therefore, we need the triple Bechor, Shor, Bechor Kesev, and Bechor Ez to teach us that these are three different categories, not one category. So that's what the Brisker Rav says. The Brisker Rav, he basically answered Tosa's question. If we're gomar everything from everything, why do we for sure Bechor Kesev and Bechor Ez? So his answer is, the way the Brisker Rav answers it is, no, gomar, that whatever's outside the category in any way is possible. But how do you know if there are two categories, Hamor and Shor Kesev Ez? In which case, a Shor that looks like an Ez is okay because it's in the category. Or if there are four categories, Hamor, Shor Kesev, and Ez. That's what we need, Bechor Shor, Bechor Kesev, where Ez says this Shrus is just Rishon Mikra. Bechor Shor, that's its own din. Bechor Kesev is its own din. Bechor Ez is its own din. And therefore he says, this is the other side of the Brisker Rav, that he brings down in the other piece. He says, no, if it just had to do with being puzzle or not being puzzle, looking nice or not looking nice, then Tosfot would have a good question. If we can learn donkey from cow, why can't we learn sheep from cow? But if it's about being in the category the Torah mentioned, not being pasul akrava, not about being good quality or bad quality, just being 100% of the category the Torah focused on, then you might have thought Bechor Shor and Kesev were one category, so within them it's allowed to be nidme. Kamash belongs to three separate categories. He also brings another raya to this, a second derech the Griz develops in the soul of nidme. His second raya is he proof from the Shakla Vitaria of Davavam and Aleph by the Sugya of Miktsa Simanim. Okay, now you might say Miktsa Simanim is a different inyan, but what's his proof from Miktsa Simanim? Let's just run through the Gemara until we get there. The Gemara asks, I know we have to catch up a little, but we'll do that quickly.
V'tamdidan, hay b'chor b'chor may avid lay. What does our time do with b'chor b'chor? Why they chori yosu rechaniyin? Don't we rechaniyin? Lam nemor imurim b'chor shor, imurim b'chor keser, imurim b'chor eiz. Tzricha dikas rechmana to teach you that basically they all have to have their imurim burnt on the mizbeach. And why need them all? It has the most nesachim, so that's more chomer. Kesev, sheginish rabba aliyah, it's the only one that has the aliyah, the tail fat, is burnt, so that's more chomer. Be'ez, sheginish rabba tzolvot chomer, the only one who brings a karban for, as a karban, for a yachid who worships avodas kochavim. Be'yachid. Chad v'chad lo asi, you can't learn one from one. Teise chad mitarti, v'chad lo lechtav. Which one wouldn't you write? Lo lechtav rochon v'shor v'teise mihanaf v'alahav sheginish rabba tzolvot chomer. No, shorin a, Kesev and Ez are good for Pesach, so you can't learn short from them. Lo deftor Kesev and Teisim Hanaf Al Lahad Shein Etrafei in this rabbi Yitzel Levos Chum Betzibur. Ez and Par, Ez and Shor are brought by Yitzibur Fodus Gochum, so you can't learn Kesev from them. Lo neftor Rechon be Ez Teisim Hanaf Al Lahad Shein Yishvam Tzad Riba Yitzel Zdeach. They have more, either more Nesachim or tail fat. Hilkach Tzrichi. So you need them all to teach you that they're all Chayiv and Emurin, that you have to burn the fats on the Mizbeach. But you said Gleilim came that they're Ach Bechor Shor Kesev Ez Bechor Lamali Allah Shvamina Aji Hu Shor Bechor Shor. He says then it would have been enough to say b'chor shor kesev eis. The extra word b'chor is he darshins. Rabbi Yosef Galili hi petachor petachmor I obviously. Why does he have to say twice? But by the way, the tanya Rabbi Yosef Galili omer tochshen emer ach b'dosu teis b'chor adamis b'chor behema hatamea tifte shomean the afilu petre susa mugumalim, maybe even other treif animals. Talmud lomar petachamor petachamor. It says it twice. Amar jiluchav lo petre susa mugumalim. Sorry, the first time it says it only chamor and not other treif animals. But dino omer petachamor b'sa petre susa mugumalim chol davar. I'm mad if a petachamor needs a set, but even the other treif animals need to redeem with something. Tamalor, Petrachamor, Petrachamor, Shnepa, Amen. Petrachamor, Martin, Chabalo, Petr Susan, Gamal, twice. Once that it's not nifted Besam, once that it doesn't have to be nifted at all, it has no din at all. Parachavacha, Yikasrachonachad, Havamina, Dovashah, Yikal, Yasmah, Lamed, Lamed, Lasmah, Yatsa, Lamed, Kulkulu, Yatsa. Oh, if it had said it once, I wouldn't have thought to be reminded of the treif animals. I would have thought the principle that when you make an example of one thing, it goes for everything. So it's just an example that goes for all treif animals. Ulaolam Beset, and I would have thought that you even pode b'chor of horses and camels with a set. Kas rechmana, petra chamor, achrini, and then when it has one extra one, petra chamor, petra susan gmal, ve'im me'atinu misel, olam chol davar. So I only have one extra pasuk, and that's when might them from a seb, I might still think you need to redeem them with something. No, in kain lef rechmana, petra chamor, tifte besev vachamor, tifte besev. Then it could have said petra chamor for itself, and that's yotzim l'kal lamid, and an extra word chamor, petra chamor, tifte besev, petach mor to themselves lamali. Why did it say petach hamor the second time? Two extra words, petra and chamor. Petra chamor, majel chob petra susan. I'll teach you that it's only chamor, not other animals, twice. Not for a set and not for anything. The tani yidan lemutzi susan malam and ali amar papa kol mikhati zachar klal shor v'seva chamor prat. It says kol mikhati zachar and then it says petra shor v'set u petra chamor. So it's a klal u prat, eim klal masher prat. The rule is when it's a klal and then a prat, et all mikne, which includes even other animals. And then shor and se and chamor, that the rule is you only go by what's in the prat, not by the klal. Shor v'se v'chamor in, midiach rini lo, v'rabi yosek lili. He says no, but since it says petra shor v'se, u petra chamor, the second petra was mapsik the inyan, and so the prat only goes in shor v'se, but chamor is still a klal. For Rabbanan vav hadar arvino, it says u petra chamor, which mixes them, arvi krav, v'rabi yosek lili, lift of lo lov lo petra. No. If it wanted to mix them, it shouldn't have written u or peter. So obviously it's separate. For a bun, I did the hukdush dum, hukdush dago, pasulu vada or vluhu. No, since one is kudush dum, one is kudush dago, it had to be a little separate but mixed. So the peter separates them a little, the u mixes them a little, but they're still mixed, and it's a klalu prat. Ibaylu, now they have an interesting question. Parashi yoldim in chamor v'yishbo mixa simanu mahu. What if a para gives birth to a chamor and it looks a little like its mother? So what do we know? We know a shioldim in rachel v'rachel shioldim in a is chiyes mixa simanu chayev v'chora. We know that between sheep and goats, they look a little like their mother, they're chayiv and b'chor. But that's because high Torah about Torah, they're both behe tahora, they're both kosher. Hakdush the guf, hakdush the guf, and they're both kedush the guf. Hacha the ha tmeiva ha tahora, hakdush the guf, hakdush is dumb and low. But if it's a cow that gives birth to a donkey that looks a little like a cow, maybe the mix of simanim aren't enough, because they're so different. One is kosher, one is treif, and one is kedush the guf, and one is kedush is dumb. Odilma came into Edev Edev and mixed b'chora kaddish, or maybe since they both have kedush b'chora, a mix of simanim is enough to make it chayiv. The imtim Saloma came to Edevim and Ningshu Bechora Kadosh, Chamer Sheldim and Sus Mahu. And if you say mix the Simonim is good enough, they're both Chayim Bechora, what about a horse that gives birth to a to a donkey, gives birth to a horse that looks a little like a donkey. Mahu hachavadei lobas mixes b'chor. He maybe mixes shimonim shouldn't help on something that doesn't have kedushas b'chor. Odilma came to min tamei hu kadosh. Or since it's still trained like its mother, mixes shimonim help make it like its mother and it's kadosh. Imtins lomer came to min tamei hu kadosh. Parish yaldim in susmahu. And if you say since they're both trained it's kadosh, what about a cow that gave birth to a donkey that looks a little like a cow? Mixas Yimanim are not good enough because one is kosher, one is treif, and one has kedushas b'chor, and one doesn't have kedushas b'chor. Odilma Yimanim milsi, or no, a partial resemblance to the mother always counts to make it like the mother. Tashma behematorish yeldim imehins meyav p'turim and b'chora imyeshbo mixas Yimanim chayevs b'chora. So if a kosher animal is birth to a treif animal, it's potter. But if it looks a little like its mother, it's chayev. My love filo partial yeldim sus. Even a para that gives birth to a sus, which shows that in all the cases mixas Yimanim is milsi. No, maybe that's only parashi yaldim in chamor because they're both kadosh b'chora. Tashma parashi yaldim in chamor, chamor yaldim in sus, p'tur min b'chor, miyesh b'mixas imanim chayavs b'chora. My lover tarvayu isn't a case that both cases they've mixed us imanim chayim b'chora. So at least we know that parashi yaldim in chamor and chamor yaldim in sus are chayim and b'chora if they've mixed us imanim. So at least the first two of our three bias are nifshatu. Lo, a parashi yaldim in chamor, v'al chamor yaldim in sus l'may ketani lo l'ptura. No, maybe only a part that gives birth to a chamor mixes simanim help, because they're both chayiv and b'chora. But if a chamor gives birth to a sus, maybe mixes simanim do not make it chayiv. So then why would it say it? Only to tell you it's potter if it doesn't have mixes simanim. Pshita, that's obvious. Hashtu, ma par shieldim in chamor, di yidim in nishim b'chora in inu amr, adim yishim mixes simanim in vilo lo, chamor shieldim in sus mi b'ayi. If a part that gives birth to a chamor, it's a both and b'chora, mixes simanim is chayiv, but if it has no resemblance to potter, then obviously chamor shieldim in sus is potter. It's rich. No, we still might need it. Salkadai the chasam udiyesh lo karnayim va in lo karnayim hapersus dugas hapersus plutos. Aval hach the idividi in lo karnayim the idividi process of plutos aim a chamor adam bi amu kamash blan. No, maybe we just need the case of chamor shieldim in sus to teach us that it's potter. Why? Isn't obvious it's potter? One is b'chor, one doesn't. No, because chamorim and susim are so similar. Remember, they can even interbreed, right? They both have unsplit hooves. They both have don't have horns. You might have thought that if a para gives birth to a chamor gives birth to a sus, it's really just a brown chamor. It's really a chamor that looks a little funny, and it's not even convinced sus. Like sus and chamor are so similar, you can never say the chamor gives birth to something that looks like a sus. It's just a funny colored chamor. Kamashla, no, you can really identify the difference between a chamor and a sus. Okay. That's all the Ibayas in terms of Psak, Ayin, the Rambam, and the Rush. I'll just point out the Brisker Rav pointed out. That what are we discussing here? We're discussing whether if it has mitzvah simanim, it's chayiv and b'chor. Whether it's chayiv because it partially resembles its mother. What does the Gemara say? Here it's an ibayah. Maybe mitzvah simanim should always be good enough. Or maybe it depends on the similarity between them. So some of the similarities are being kosher, being treif, or general similarities. But it says, hold on, maybe mitzvah simanim only helps if they're both chayiv and b'chor. Not if one is potter and b'chor. It says, hold on a second. If we're just discussing, says the Brisker Rav, against his first shot here. If we're just discussing if nibbe being putter, because it's possible to, it's no good for hakrava, then what difference does it make if one species is chayiv b'chora and one species isn't chayiv b'chora? Rather, the Brisker Rav says, this is a raya to me. This whole shakta b'tarya, when they say the chiyav should depend whether it looks partially like a species that is chayiv b'chora, not chayiv b'chora, proves my orientation. It's all about being part of the species the Torah described, or not being 100% like the species the Torah described. That's what they said. What if you look partially like your mother? Well, if you look partially like your mother and you're one of the other dinim of Bechora, maybe that's good enough. But if you look partially like your mother and you look like the rest like a sus, that's not good enough. Which shows we're not just about looking weird, it's not just about how weird it looks, it's about does it fall into the category of shore properly or does it not? If a shore gives birth to something that doesn't look like a shore, it for sure doesn't fall in the category of shore. Whatever partially looks like a shore, maybe it depends how far away is the other thing it looks like. If it's another category before, maybe that's good enough, which proves like this second side of the, Brisker Rav. If you would just ask, if the Brisker is right in both his diukim, that no, the tour of Nidmeh is because it's possible like Rav. No, the Torah of Midbeh has nothing to do with Pasul Akrav, because it's not in the category the Torah described. Can't both be true at the same time. So what's Pshat? Meaning Tosas, no problem. Tosas doesn't give his answer to his question. Tosas doesn't hold like his Vart. So you could say that, what's Pshat? So you could say maybe, but here I'm going to leave it to speculation because
this is the part where I said I don't understand anything anymore. Maybe say this say dinim, tie them to the Rama, with both psukim, he doesn't have to. I'm not sure that it works out, but it's definitely food for thought. Maybe there are two reasons Zimba is puzzle. Number one, it's not in the category the Torah describes. And number two, because it's not something you could bring as a karban, or maybe you could differentiate between mikzah simanim and not having mikzah simanim. Okay, but all of those are tricky, so we'll leave it for now, as there's a lot more iyun that needs to be done in the sugya that I haven't found in the achronim, but basically what we've seen in the Brisker Rav is, on two different years when he was giving shir, he was medayik, two different drachim, understanding the soul of Nidbeh. At one point he said, based on the Rabbi Gershom and the Shittim Gubetzes, at least the Tosfos Rosh's version, Tosfos Kitzonius is a little different. He says, the Ketur of Nidbeh is because Pasul LaHakrava. That's why it's more obvious that it's Pater from Dush Saguf. But on another year he said, no, the Ketur of Nidbeh is not because Pasul LaHakrava. The Ketur of Nidbeh is because it doesn't fall, it has to fall 100% into the Torah's category. Torah said, I want to give a din of shor, has to be like a shor always. Not just basically shor, like a shor always. I want to give a din of kevitz, has to be like a kevitz and always. Want to give a din of chamor, has to be like a din of chamor and always. His proofs were, and that's how he answered Tosa's question, which is sort of a proof he answered Tosa's question, but Tosa didn't give that answer. And also, the shakotari da bavam and aleph, why should I be more chayiv if I look a little like something else that's chayiv and bechor, than if I look like something that's not chayiv and bechor? Because it's about how close I am to the category of real bechor, not just how weird I look in terms of the standards of the mizbeach. Okay, we'll pick up Amir Tzashem. On Monday, we only have 2 more weeks left, 4 more shirim, and we're going to try to get through all the yesodos that we need to get through about Masechta Bechoros, at least on the most basic level of the lumdus. But we'll pick up the sugya, the Testament Aleph, the Testament Beis, which is the most yesodistic sugya about the nature of Kedushas Petach Hamor and the prophet of Pidyon Petach Hamor, which is the topic that will occupy us, Amir Tzashem, next week. So just pick up with the mission of the Testament Aleph and the Gemara there, and I'll send that Bechoros as soon as I can, Amir Tzashem.
Doesn't the Brisker Rav sound like the Ezekiel?